And, of course, she's the star of the show.
For TV viewers who would like to do their own ratings and let networks know how they feel about programming that their kids watch or that they watch or that's available, what can they do?
They can certainly get together in groups and decide what they want to address in terms of viewing. I think it's a very important thing to do. Part of the responsibility that the networks have to us is to give us some socially responsible programming. They need to provide a public service to us because they get the airwaves for free. ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox get these airwaves for free from our government. And in return, they're supposed to be providing us with a service.
Karen Johnson is the vice president for a membership of the National Organization for Women. She spoke with WBAI's Leslie George. And finally, these regional environmental items. The American Lung Association says that in New Jersey, the worst ozone concentrations are in Camden and Ocean counties. The association analyzed air quality reports from across the country during the years 1996 and 98. Camden was the 21st in the nation. Analysts gave failing grades to a dozen New Jersey counties. Only Bergen County passed with the grade D. And the state Supreme Court in Connecticut has heard claims of environmental damage by Northeast Utilities and the Millstone Nuclear Power Plant. An attorney for Fish Unlimited and other environmental groups says that the hearing is historic because it's the first time the High Court has heard those matters. They're claiming collusion between Northeast Utilities and state environmental officials. One case involves a 1998 settlement over violations of Millstone's water discharge permit. Northeast Utilities spokespeople say that the push by the group is aimed at shutting down the Millstone nuclear power plant. And that's some of the news of this Tuesday, May 23rd, 2000. The news was engineered by Dred Scott Keyes and produced with Leslie George, Nadja Middleton, and Jose Santiago. I'm Robert Knight for the WBAI Evening News.
I think I understand the reason you won't stay with me. You think a ring upon your hand will solve your insecurity. So go ahead and play your game. That's what you must do.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI in New York. It's 7 o'clock. Stay tuned for an expanded three-hour edition of Off the Hook. Oh, and by the way, we don't have the theme this week, so we'll have to survive on malfunctioning CD players that don't play when you press the button. So this is sounding really smooth already. Just bear with us while we put the CD in a different player and press the button over here. And this is the best we can do, not having a theme. It's just a regular dial tone. What do you think, Leslie?
Where's the theme, dude?
Well, the theme is actually sitting in my house. I ran out in a bit of a hurry because, you know, when you're doing a three-hour fundraiser for WBAI, it's something that you have to take very seriously.
Have you ever thought to just leave the theme here?
Yeah, I guess I should do that. But then I can't find it when I come in sometimes because we have so many shows that there's so many themes and all the themes start to blend into each other after a while.
Don't you have a box?
No. I could get a box if I wanted to. Yeah, it's so impersonal to have a locker, you know. But, anyway, the dial tone is there to remind everybody that that we're here. We're a radio show about telephones, about technology, about hackers and issues of privacy and freedom and various things like that. So we are here for 3 hours tonight. We're usually on from 8 to 9 every Tuesday night, but this week we're on from 7 to 10. We have a lot of people stopping in to say hello. And that's me. I did that. Yeah. No, that's I'm explaining why the dial tone's going out over there. Yeah, no, it's okay. That shows that we always listen to our station because we know when something bad is happening, like a dial tone going out over there. I'm going to hit a tone. There. Now the dial tone's gone. See? It's that easy. That easy to take care of problems. All right, we're doing a fundraiser for the radio station because we need to do that. That's how we stay on the air. Leslie, you come from commercial radio. You don't mind my saying that.
No, that's all right.
You work in commercial radio. You do commercial radio type things. What's that like? Must be hard if you have ideals. You have, a conscience. You have something you want to express, but they won't let you express it. Do you ever run into that?
Well, sometimes we'll do a feature on something. It's a computer feature, obviously. And we'll do a feature on something like a gateway computer that we give a bad review to. And we'll get a call from an affiliate saying, we won't run that because Gateway spends a lot of money on this station. So you get censored at the local level a lot. Another problem is just in terms of, it used to be if you did radio and you did radio features and you did news features, you could pretty much get on any radio station nationwide. And since the Communications Act allowed three companies to buy every radio station in the United States, those stations now will tell you, I really like your content and I really like what you do, but we've got a director on high that says, if we don't own it, don't run it.
You know, I hear the same thing on network television now. I think it's CBS. They won't air any program that they don't own now. So the result of that is that you have programs like, you know, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and things like that on every day of the week, or Dateline NBC, things that are owned and run by the network, and you don't have any kind of production that has independence from that.
And it means less voices on the air.
Right. That's well, you see, the reason that can't happen here at BAI is because, well, we don't own the radio programs. The radio programs come out of individual producers.
And it's not sponsored by Monsanto, like NPR.
That's right.
And Archer Daniels Midland.
In fact, I want to say it's not sponsored by anybody, but that's not true because it's sponsored by the listeners. Unlike other places where they may say, you know, call in, pledge money to us. That's also sponsored by corporate interest as well. Anytime something is underwritten, anytime you hear other names being given at the end of a program, or even see advertisements. Some of them have the nerve to run advertisements and ask for money. It's unbelievable. Or, you know, if you're selling a product, if you're, you know, engaged in just selling something, that's, you know, it's the same basic thing. You already have a sponsor for the show. So you don't need listeners. Here we need listeners. Without listeners, we're nothing. Without listeners, we can't air the things we air. What we're going to air right about now is something really amazing, something that we're offering as a premium here at the radio station. In fact, this is going out for anybody who pledges tonight at the various levels that we have at 212-209-2950. You might want to listen to it first and get all fired up and charged up about it because... Well, this is interesting stuff. As you know, we've done a lot of coverage of WTO, of all kinds of things, activism going on throughout the world, actually, but throughout the nation in the past 6 months. In fact, it was on this show back in November, late November, that we had some really amazing coverage from Live from the Streets of Seattle, where Amy Goodman was basically dodging rubber bullets. You can hear that show on the website, or you can pledge for CD-ROM and get all the shows that we have up until 1997 and hear some of the amazing things that have gone out over these airways. But that was one of the most incredible things I think I've ever taken part in, just hearing somebody going through that. And it really tied it together. It tied it into what we talk about, tied it into technology, tied it into privacy issues, and the fact that a lot of computer hackers are having their rights taken away constantly. And like prisoners, you know, hackers have their rights taken away first, kind of like at a test. You know, they test it out on prisoners, and there's 2 million of them now. They test it out, and they say, well, let's give these people, you know, badges and ankle bracelets and things like that. And, you know, in the end, in a few years, they start testing these things out, you know, in the corporate environment. And then they start testing it out on school kids. And before you know it, everybody in the world is being treated like a prisoner in some way. Same thing with hackers, you know. Basically, rights are being taken away left and right. And who's going to speak up for them? Who's going to speak up? We have to. That's why we're here. And that's what we try to do with this radio program. That's how I believe we tie into bigger issues as well. WTO is one of those issues that was incredibly big and still is and will be for many years to come. Now, we have a conference coming up in July in New York, and our keynote speaker is Jello Biafra, who is the person we're going to be hearing from. He just put out a CD, just came out last couple of days, I think, and we're offering this as our first premium. But I'd like people to listen to what Jello has to say. This was done while it was going on in Seattle. Basically it says recorded live, surrounded by cops and tear gas at the Showbox Theater, Seattle, Washington, December 1st, 1999. Really some incredible things. Now, what we had to do to get this to you, because it's not exactly what you would call a clean piece. Porkchop is here. He battled long and hard to make it technically possible to bring this CD to us without violating many of the FCC, any of the FCC rules, any of the many FCC rules that exist out there. What did we have to do to get this to work?
Well, originally, we took it in from a CD, put it into the editing Mac that we're using to edit the documentary together.
Which will be premiered at the conference.
At
HBK,
the conference,
we'll,
that's
we'll
right.
Have more information for you on that later.
Yeah. And then ran it through sound program and replaced all the certain sounds that you wouldn't be hearing with another sound.
Four-letter words, basically, we're replacing with a special, unique sound. What's the sound that we're replacing it with?
The sound is a tone you might be familiar with. The 2600 tone.
2600 hertz. Okay.
Yeah. So if you don't know what the tone sounds like, then we'll just listen for the curses.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when you don't hear them, you'll hear 2600 hertz instead, which to some people is a curse. But we'll just have to deal with that now.
Government.
Okay, so basically we have it on the computer right now.
Yes.
We somehow patch this computer into the board, and hopefully...
That's pretty jury-rigged.
Hopefully I won't mess it up too badly. I think you have to press that button there. All right, and what we have here is Jello Biafra giving a talk to a rather enthusiastic crowd as all the mayhem of Seattle is taking place. And again, 212-209-2950 is our phone number. If you want information on how to receive this as a premium, please call us while it's playing. But I suggest you listen to it because there's a lot more to this. We're just playing a brief excerpt of it. I've got a telephone call. I've got to go. So let's play this now.
Hear ye, hear ye. Put down your crack pipes and get up here. Well, what can we say about the past couple days besides the people have spoken? The cardboard turtle insurrection has begun. Yesterday, as far as I'm concerned, the cops were pretty well behaved compared to what would have happened in San Francisco, let alone L.A. But now that I hear people are being pepper sprayed inside of buses, law and order broke down among the police department today. Yeah, they did overreact today. I mean, way less protesters, way more arrests. On Channel 7 clearly had footage of them pepper spraying people who were shopping or trying to get home from work for the office. Some of it maybe was because they had so many other cops from other departments. It was that old who's on first, who's on second. Oh, I don't know. I think I'll just fuck some people up. Spray, 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 spray. It only takes one rogue attacking Starbucks to taint a whole protest. And it only takes one rogue cop to fuck shit up even worse. And there were quite a few today, from what I understand. Again, nowhere near as horrific as what would happen in California or New York, let alone China. And we should be thankful for that. And the fact that everybody who had the balls to come down to this show was able to come down without getting taken away and pepper sprayed in a fucking bus. So the people have spoken, and this is a kind of a shot across the bow, or even the first shot, hole in the side, direct hit in the good ship, or should we say bad Exxon Valdez or toxic waste barge called the WTO. This is step one. And we have one major, maybe two major victories. Number one, the biggest weapon the WTO creatures had is that nobody knew who they were. Well, some of us did, but hardly anybody knew who they were, what they were up to, or all the way they've been fucking up people's lives on the planet all over the world, just so people who already have so much money they don't know what the fuck to do with it can make more money and more money and more money. It's almost like an addiction, right? Wealth addiction? Who is more dangerous to public order, a crack addict or a wealth addict? Our government's own statistics from the Federal Reserve Board, we're talking Alan Greenspan here, admit that 80% of the American people have seen dick all from this supposed economic boom. It's the other 20% who are gentrifying the buildings, forcing poor people and artists and people of color out in the street, tootling along in their sport utility vehicles, running red lights while they're talking on their cell phones because the laws don't apply to them. That's 20%. The other 80% are in the same boat we are and don't even know it. Or do they? The other great victory that's given me so much energy and, yes, even optimism from what's gone down in this town is you got people who one side was dismissed as tree huggers marching along side by side people that they would dismiss as rednecks or hard hats. Finally, we are communicating with each other, I hope. The WTO and the upward flow of money to people who don't need it, that's not some bullshit left-wing, right-wing issue. That is the top versus the bottom. And the top is even less than 20% of the population, ain't it? So, here we have all this energy, all these different kinds of people who we might not agree with on everything, all focused on the same thing. That is why Seattle, the battle in Seattle, is a shot heard around the world. We are making history. Isn't it better than staying home and watching it on TV? Isn't it better to follow Nike's suggestion and just do it than to be a spectator in your own life? So, now what do we do? The most important thing we can take for is how many of you came here from outside of Seattle? Okay, this applies to inside Seattle too. After a couple days, and a few more TV people saying, the protesters ruined Christmas. There's no shopping downtown. Once that's not the flavor of the hour anymore, WTUTO may disappear off the radar screen, and they'll be telling us it's much more important to worry about how many millions of dollars Toy Story 2 took in this week, or what's Brad Pitt up to now, or, you know, the other things that they push at us, celebrities, icons, and no issues in the regular press. Can George, King George II beat Al Gore, Bill Bradley, but nothing about the issues? They don't want to say that because all those people agree with each other too much anyway, especially when it comes to phony free trade. Anyway, that's what we're being presented with. So our job now to keep this pot, keep the stove boiling. Don't hate the media, become the media. Take what you felt here, what you've learned here, what you know about the WTO. This ain't the X-Files. This is not black helicopters. This is real, and this is worse. Take this out to the people you know who you don't necessarily normally agree with or shoot the shit with. Family, people at work, people at school. You hear people spouting Rush Limbaugh bullshit or Pat Buchanan bullshit or Bill Clinton, Al Gore, Bill Bradley bullshit. Communicate with them. Don't dismiss them as stupid or redneck or hopelessly unreachable. If they're frustrated because they can't put food on the table, that's our big fucking wedge issue, and everybody's fucking reachable. Tell them what the WTO is, how it's designed to let tin horn dictators from one country in the pay of American or Europe-based multinationals go clear across our borders or someone else's borders and nuke their democratically enacted sovereign laws. This isn't democracy. This isn't even capitalism. This is feudalism. New feudalism. Remember that phrase, new feudalism. Because this isn't barons and lords and high castles with little peasants, terrified peasants on the other side of the moat tilling the land anymore. New feudalism means we know who the people in the high castles are, and every time we buy anything from Exxon or Microsoft or Time Warner or Blockbuster Video or Walmart or Home Depot or Toys R Us or Buns and Nubile Books or whatever, we are their serfs. And nobody can divorce themselves from corporate feudalism all the way unless you want to be as pure and politically correct as the Unabomber. Maybe not everybody wants that. So this means when we become the media and take this knowledge of the WTO and turn around and fuck shit up in a good way and go after their agenda and fuck with it, we can't come from a fundamentalist fundamentalist radical point of view. You gotta pick a moral code and a lifestyle you can not only live with but live up to, and then you won't become as miserable as Ted Kaczynski or see things in such black and white issues that if this cramps your style, you go, I don't like this anymore. I guess I'll just become a computer yuppie instead. If you don't go so far over this way, you're less likely to spring like a rubber band and turn into this on the other side. And so the multinationals, the chains, the arms of the new feudalist WTO, don't give them your money. To the degree that you can, boycott all chains, all corporations, and support local businesses, local bookstores, local music stores, local organic markets, local organic farmers, things like that. No one can do it 100%, but the more you do and the more you encourage other people to do, the less money they can make off of you. For crying out loud, don't work for them. But knowing how hard it is to pay skyrocketing rents and find meaningful work you can actually live on, Well, if you must work for them, at least remember that the computer age has ushered in a whole new frontier of sabotage on the job. A prank a day keeps the dog leash away. Think about it. And if you do wind up in a lucrative career, computer whiz, lawyer, doctor, dentist, contractor, whatever, there's still a way to give back to the community by giving back to the community and providing your services for people who can't afford it for free every once in a while. That's the way to give something back. And don't forget where you came from. Don't be the people like the people in the 60s and the 70s who decided that once the Vietnam War was over, they didn't have to work to change things anymore. Those people became the yuppie monsters and the quitnoids who fuck our lives up today on a daily basis. Remember this. Remember who you are and why you feel who you are. And if and when you have kids, pass that on to your kids. And here's how to do it. Every time something unpleasant comes on the news and your kid's watching it, don't change the channel. Talk to them about it. Talk intelligently about it. Explain it to them. Share the knowledge with them. I mean, my parents were very open. I knew what race riots were. I knew what the Vietnam War was. I knew what all kinds of shit was when I was real small. I dug it. I've always been a news hound. But people I know now, I'm 41 now, a lot of people I know or people my age have no tangible personal memory of Vietnam or even Watergate. And I think that's because their Eisenhower brainwashed parents decided to put the blinders on whenever the Biafra War or the Vietnam War or anything that they didn't want them to see came on TV, they changed the channel. Don't make your kids stupid. The more the schools and the TV does it, the more you got to counter that. And that's how to be good parents. So on that note, we got a lot of work to do. Right now, let's face it, it's Advantage WTO. They have the money. They have the power. They have the guns. They have the organization. This is the same situation we in this country faced with the Vietnam War, and guess what? We stopped the Vietnam War. It can be done, and it must be done. And if we sustain our energy and our vision and spread the positive disease, one thing this visit to Seattle has given me, I think it may take as long as Vietnam, as much work as Vietnam, as much not giving up as Vietnam, but in the end, the wealth addicts have gotten carried away. We're going to win. We're going to win. So repeat after me and follow the bouncing pincer.
Everybody. And you're listening to Off the Hook here on radio station WBAI in New York. That was an excerpt from a brand new CD, which has just been released by Alternative Tentacles, the No WTO Combo, featuring Jello Biafra, who we all know and love from Dead Kennedys, Chris Novoselic, Kim Thiel, and Gina Mindwell as well. And you can get a copy of this simply by pledging right now, and please show your support for this radio station. We were talking earlier about how certain things are simply not heard, and well, Laszlo, you're from
the commercial radio world, this kind of thing wouldn't be heard on no matter how cool your alternative rock station is. They wouldn't play something like this, would they?
No. I mean, now music is not even spun at a lot of radio stations. It's on a hard drive.
That's right.
And
well, this was on my hard drive, too.
I know, but and the hard drive is basically controlled from... there's a station in L.A. Mm-hmm. that all the DJs and all the music is done in Colorado, mm-hmm. and they just ship it to a server that plays it out over the radio.
What we had to do is we had to put it on the hard drive now. We censored out the four-letter words, which obviously aren't censored out on the CD, and hopefully our 2600 hertz tones didn't offend anybody, or hopefully the remnants of whatever words were there didn't offend anybody either. But the idea, the important thing, see, in this country we seem to worry too much about the words and not what the words say. And I hope people listened to what the words said. And if they were upset by that, fine, but at least know why you're upset by what was being said. Now, just so people know, if they give a call, 212-209-2950, we have a special deal for Off the Hook listeners. As we mentioned, Jello Biafra will be our keynote speaker at H2K, taking place this summer in New York, July 14th through 16th. And his keynote will be taking place July 15th at noon at the Hotel Pennsylvania. If you call now, pledge $100, you'll get two tickets to that, and you'll also get, you know, your ears perked up. That's a good deal, isn't it? And you also get a copy of the CD. Can't beat that, huh? $100.
How much?
$100. You get two. You know, this is actually the reason for calling into a radio station is not to shop around for, you know, a good deal. You should be making a contribution. But if you were to buy these things, you'd pay the same amount of money. So it really is kind of if you're interested in these things, you really should go ahead and give a call for that. 212-209-2950 for a pledge of $100. You'll get two tickets to H2K. Which takes place this summer, and you can stay the entire time. You don't just go for the speech. You go for the 3 days of all kinds of activities, including the mock trial for 2600 and the MPAA, which we'll get into a little bit later. And in addition, you'll get a copy of the CD, which has a lot more on it than what we've played. And it's really pretty inspiring stuff. And there's a whole booklet inside, too, that has all kinds of neat pictures. We have one... I'm looking at the wrong phone line. Oh, okay, we have one phone call up there, too, but... I know there's more people interested in these affairs that can call up and show support for the radio station, so show support for Off the Hook, and for the ideas that we present here on this radio program, on this radio station. 212-209-2950. Any pledge, $50 or more, by the way, will get a copy of the CD as well. But for the $100, it really does pay off, I think, especially if you're in the New York area. Two tickets to the H2K conference, which is our third conference. The first one was in 1994, second in 1997, and this is our third one. And they always wind up making history as far as the kinds of people who show up and share ideas. And in addition to those two tickets, you'll get a copy of the CD.
Is it tax deductible?
Oh, yeah, of course. You're going to pledge now, aren't you?
So, well,
right,
I'm all,
call from this phone,
I'm all about the taxes, but if you think about it that way, instead mm-hmm. of paying taxes,
right.
you're supporting alternative voices.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Tax deductible.
Instead of giving it to the Defense Department,
mm-hmm.
giving it to the WBAI Department.
That's right. Not the WTO, WBAI. Yeah, exactly. 212-209-2950. Three calls on the line. You know,
you see, dude, tax deduction. That's what I'm telling you. This is the strategy. As soon as you say tax deduction, the phone lines blow up.
There's a special button in here that allows you to hear the phones ringing. And I never know which button it is. But if anybody out there in the studio knows which button it is, please run in and show me, because it's kind of cool to hear the phones ringing. 212-209-2950. Think of where you would be without a radio station like this. Would you have even heard of the kinds of things going on in Seattle, the kinds of things going on in Washington, and the kinds of things that we've talked about before that and the kinds of things we'll talk about after that involving the computer world, involving people like Kevin Mitnick, like Bernie S., like Fiber Optic, stories that just aren't told anywhere. Why aren't they told? I don't know. What do you think? They're just not convenient. They don't back up the picture that the corporate media wants to paint. I don't know. What picture is that? You're in the corporate media. What is it that they want us to think? Ah, what button is it? That one there. Oh, thank you very much. Okay, so now we can hear the phones in the tally room. Thank you very much. 212-209-2950. Please call to make a pledge, not just to make the phone ring. Yeah. So what is this? What is this like paradise image that we're supposed to be getting? I just want to know what it is I'm missing.
A paradise image of what?
Of America, of the way things are. I mean, we're supposed to be in a prosperous age. Everything's supposed to be working out really nicely. We don't talk about 2 million prisoners. We don't talk about horrible things happening in the streets of various cities and evil organizations meeting behind closed doors deciding the fate of the world. We don't talk about that. We play music. We read the news off the Associated Press. And we give a lot of time to business and sports updates and, of course, the weather.
Stock market.
Stock market, yeah. That's all it's about. I mean, I remember when I first started watching CNN back in 1980, is that when they went on the air? It was about news. And now, every time you turn it on, it's about stocks. It's about business. That's all they care about is
business. And then it's a fashion report right after that.
Exactly. And, you know, I feel kind of weird. We're on Wall Street right now as we speak. We're sitting right here on Wall Street.
Which is a little odd.
It's very odd. But it's also kind of cool because you get to see things right up front. You know, we say we're in the belly of the beast, but we certainly are. And they're not too happy about that either. But when there's a demonstration on Wall Street, we're able to cover it, like, immediately because we're right here as it is. In fact, we can also get past the police barricades because we belong here. So that's kind of neat as it is. That's what you have to do. You have to infiltrate. You have to figure out ways of getting the word to the people, and that's what we try to do here at this program, and that's what a lot of other people try to do at this radio station. It's important because without listeners, we're really nothing. I mean, that's true of any radio station. That's true of commercial radio as well as non-commercial radio. But I think with BAI's case, the listeners are a lot more present because we interact with them. They pledge something. And we see that, and that translates into something for the radio station, which allows it to keep going. Commercial radio, well, it's not really about that. It's about cumulative shares, arbitrons, market research, and all kinds of things that don't really translate into individual people. They're just numbers. You get numbers from a computer. In fact, these days you get everything from a computer at a radio station, don't you? You get the songs, you get the news, you get the figures, the format, the hiring practices, whatever. It all comes to you.
You don't need people anymore.
You don't need people, exactly.
And a lot of the people I know that work in commercial radio, the few people that are left, because a lot of people have just gotten so sick of it that they're out. But program directors now are saying, don't even talk between songs. You come out of a song, and instead of, like, making a comment, you know, maybe about something political or whatever, they want to hear, that was Squeeze coming up, it's The Cure, hit the song, bam.
Uh-huh. Is that what people want? I mean, is that really what people want? Well, you know what, if you don't call us, you're saying that's what you want because you don't want an alternative. That's the important thing. If you're driving around wondering, hey, should I call, you should, because your voice matters. Everyone's voice matters. And that's, if you think your voice doesn't matter, you know, you've been programmed to believe that. You've been programmed to not want to vote. You've been programmed to think that you don't count in the masses of people out there, that your voice will never mean anything. I used to think that way until I turned on the radio and heard alternative voices. I heard other people saying different things, controversial things, things I didn't necessarily agree with, but, wow, it was something to listen to. And if you're listening now, then you are listening, aren't you? It means something to you. 212-209-2950. A pledge of $100 gets you into H2K and a friend. Gets you and a friend into H2K.
The perfect date.
Yeah. I don't know about that, but it certainly will be something that you'd remember for ages to come. Yes, and that's an entire weekend right there, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, July 14th through 16th, where we'll be premiering the 2600 documentary called Freedom Downtown.
Oh, wow, hey, look at that, dude. That's pretty cool.
The phone. Okay, that's one phone call there.
Now, a lot of people listen to the show online. They could still call and contribute.
We get a couple hundred people listening every week around the world.
Right.
I would like one of those people to pick up the phone now and call. You know, if you're overseas, don't worry. Country code 1. That's all you have to remember.
If somebody's in California,
mm-hmm.
They'd still get the tickets. They could fly in for the weekend.
That's
and
true.
Come to the conference.
We won't pay your airfare, okay?
Come on.
There's only so much we can do. But, and you know, you could always sell the tickets on eBay. You could do that.
Yeah.
Well, actually, what you get is you get a little confirmation slip. But you could sell the confirmation slip just as easily. You know, we have a special trademark way of doing that. But, yeah, there's, you know, it's that one. We don't want to suggest that people not fly in from California because we have people flying in from all over the world. You know,
really?
We see the people that are registering for this thing already. And I got to tell you, you know, we've done two of these before, and we have more people registered now than we had for the two of them combined on the day before the conference. And, I mean, when you add all that up, a lot of people are going to be there. We're expecting about 3,000 people to show up. Which is more than any hacker event has ever drawn.
It was a great one last time. I played my favorite game, Spot the Pig, trying to guess which one was undercover.
Uh-huh. And did you?
Huh? Well, the one guy that I thought, as soon as he went by, his name tag said Bernie S., so I was...
Uh-oh. You and he aren't speaking, are you?
What? No, we are. He called me from that stupid hamvention all weekend going, hey, I found an antenna, dude. You want to buy it?
You know, I'm really upset I wasn't able to make it this year. But I've been to the last two hamventions in Dayton, and it was great to go. And maybe next year. We're just so busy with the film. Porkchop, we're working on the film in the last bunch of, I don't know how long, years?
It's been a long, long time.
Yeah.
And there I am.
Well, it's going to be done. It's going to be done, and we'll be premiering it at the conference. If you call up 212-209-2950, you know, it's like you get a ticket to that as well because, well, you have entry to the whole area for the entire weekend. So two tickets to the H2K conference and one CD that we just played an excerpt from. We'll play a couple more excerpts from that throughout the evening. 212-209-2950. We have two calls on the line. You know, last year when we did this, I think we had more at this time. Yeah, so I know there's people out there. I know the show means something to them. This isn't our regular time. Usually expert witnesses on now. So it's all important. We all support each other. We all support different opinions, different radio shows here on the radio station. The important thing is that what we are doing counts for the entire station. So please help us out. Keep us going. Remember, we don't have commercials here. We could not possibly air something like what you just heard if we had commercials, even a small amount of commercials.
Even if it was an NPR affiliate.
That's right.
There's no way.
That's right. I mean, you know, I'm not knocking NPR, but, man, I mean, come on already. They are as corporate as anything.
Right, and what really disappoints me, the difference between NPR stations and this station,
mm-hmm.
is that you don't see stations like this getting together.
Well,
and
I got people started. Okay, you want us to talk about NPR? We'll talk about NPR.
And opposing low-power FM. That was really, really upset. I mean, National Public Radio, community radio, these stations across the nation that are supposed to be the public's voice
mm-hmm.
are voting against, you know, our press... pressuring members of Congress not to let churches and community groups and activist groups have a tiny signal that's only going to have a few miles of reach, but regardless still have a voice in the community.
We're talking about 10-watt radio stations. We're talking about 40-watt radio stations. Things like we used to have a radio station down in the village. It was great. It was at 88.7 and Skillless Radio. They have not been on in over a year now because of FCC crackdowns. We're on the verge of having actual laws passed to allow micro broadcasting. Finally, as if we all have to go through this kind of song and dance just to get a voice, but we do, unfortunately. And it gets down to the wire. Everybody supports it, and all of a sudden, NAB manages to step in and get Congress to defeat it. That's what we're dealing with here. That's the kind of you play by the rules, you get people to sign on and agree, and you change the system, and then they just step in and take it away from you. And that's what's happening with micro-broadcasting. NPR...
was right there with the NAB, with the National Association of Broadcasters. It was really...
right there.
And it made me say, because I would usually give money to NPR, and then I was like, I got to give it all to BAI now, because that really upsets me.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you believe in freedom of speech, believe in it. Practice it. Give other people the chance. There's no way a 40-watt radio station is going to interfere with your 50,000-watt radio station. It's just not going to happen. And there are certain rules and regulations. I think the FCC knows a little bit about how to allocate frequencies. I don't think they're going to, you know, put another 99.5 radio station in the same city or put a station that is too powerful at 99.3 somewhere else that would interfere. You know, it's ridiculous to think that is even a remote danger in this day and age. Yeah, if you have a radio from, say, 1945, maybe you'll have a little trouble tuning it and separating the stations. But, you know, I think you might have a little trouble with it, period. In this day and age, the vast majority of people are able, the vast majority, I mean 99.9% of people are able to be able to tune radio stations and not get interference from stations that are nearby. So that's the kind of thing we support, freedom of speech for lots of different kinds of people, lots of different kinds of opinions. You have entities like NPR, and I don't want to spend the night knocking NPR, but that really annoyed me a lot, to see them actually stand up and say that low-power FM was a threat. You know, if anything is a threat, it's the idea that you have to saturate the market. I mean, you listen to National Public Radio programming, it's everywhere. It really is. No matter where you are in the country, you can get it at least three times on three different stations, which is all fine and good. I have no problem with that. But when you start taking it away from students, when you start taking away college radio stations and turning them into NPR stations, when you start opposing low-power radio and replacing that with FM stations that are powerful, that that's broadcast certain programs, then, you know, you may say you stand for freedom of speech, but, you know, you're really practicing what the enemy does, which is silencing people, which is controlling everything. And that's what we have to stand and oppose in whatever way possible. 212-209-2950. Please call in with your pledge to support this kind of thing. We're going to play one more track from the General Biafra CD, and then we're going to move on to a special guest, special couple of guests, actually. Please, 212-209-2950. We're only up to $450. We should be well over the $1,000 mark by now. So I hope while this track is playing, some of you will rethink your what you're doing here. Hey, how you doing? One of our special guests actually is here. So we're going to unmuzzle this special guest when you give us a call. Now, we don't like to threaten people like that. That's not nice. But please, please give us a call. 212-209-2950. Two tickets to H2K and a copy of the General Biafra CD for every pledge of $100. And every pledge of $50 or more, you'll get a copy of the General Biafra CD.
And even if you just call and give $10, I mean, you don't have to give $50 or $100. You can call and give $5, whatever.
Yeah, every little amount counts. Absolutely, it all builds up. And I like to demonstrate this. When we do these kind of shows, we start off at zero, and by a bunch of individuals getting together and pledging support, we build up to a number that we didn't think we'd be able to get up to. All right? It's that simple. 212-209-2950. There's one call on the line. You know, I kind of prefer not having the phone there because I'm aware of it not ringing too much,
right.
You know? Whereas when it's not there, I just look up occasionally and the number keeps moving up, you know? This is good, too, though. If the phone keeps ringing like this, it's good. But, you know, you have to kind of get people to motivate themselves.
And at least during this, you have content. Usually during megathons, they have two people that say the phone number 80,000 million times.
Yeah, that's no good for anybody.
And they just keep doing that.
209-2950. We have four calls on the line. That's down to three. I guess that person.
Wrong number.
No. It's a quick thing. It doesn't take very long. You know, I pledged myself about a week or so ago. I was driving down. This is a true story. I was driving around where I live, and I heard. I do that. I heard the most amazing piece. Actually, I heard this in the morning, and I heard more of it in the afternoon. It's in the afternoon I finally broke down and pledged. Now, you can't do that out there now because we're not going to be on again, so please call and pledge now. I was just listening, and they were talking about the Birmingham church bombings, which took place back in the early 60s. And there's a documentary that they were offering. They were playing bits of the documentary. It was the most compelling radio I think I've heard in ages. And I just had to pull over to the side of the road, because when you're on a cell phone, you really should pull over to the side of the road, especially if you sprint, because if you go more than 20 feet, you'll lose the signal. So I called up, and, you know, it really felt great to pledge, to know that I was adding my voice to the people that were keeping this place going. And it couldn't have been a more pleasant experience. If you're worried about, you know, people being harsh and unpleasant because this is New York and you're calling from somewhere else in the world, no, it's not like that at all, basically. They're very friendly people on the other end of the line. It doesn't take very long at all. And that's basically what it's all about. 212-209-2950. Please give a call to the radio station. Show your support. Keep us going. Keep programs like this coming your way. We're going to play another bit of the General Biafra CD, which you'll get with any pledge, $50 or more, or with a pledge of $100, two tickets to H2K as well. And
much cooler way.
Shana.
Yeah, sorry.
Welcome.
I just popped up here.
Yeah, just popped up out of nowhere. Go ahead.
Okay. What a much better way, though, to get a General Biafra CD, by the way, by pledging to BAI as opposed to going to Tower or HMV.
Absolutely.
Or like that.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's so contradictory if you were to go to Mass Record Store and go and get General Biafra.
Well, good luck finding it there. You know, it's not like they have them advertised in the windows or anything like that. This is a true labor of love. I think there's more love going on here than anything. General Biafra putting out something like this, showing up at a demonstration, risking his life, because everybody in Seattle, as far as I'm concerned, was risking their lives. And us here on the radio station basically spending a lot of time making this place go and joining hands with the listeners who help us survive, help us keep going. 212-209-2950. 2950. Let's hear the last bit, then we'll proceed with the show. We're up to, is that a six or an eight? I think it's $650. I'd sure like to see that crest over 1,000 during this break. 212-209-2950. You can make it happen. Yeah, of course, the CD didn't play again. Okay, hold on. I'll figure it out. I think I have to, that's CD number four. I think I have to physically press the button over here. So let me reach over. Ah! I did it. 212-209-2950.
Okay. This is another new one I brought up with me about something that might be dear to the hearts of people living in the shadow of Redmond. And a man who really thinks he needs $73 million. And lots of great new technology, lots of fun things to do with it, but their idea of what to do with it, put everybody in a little cubicle with a keyboard where it's all temporary jobs so they can wake up any time and find out they don't have a job, no raises, no unions, no benefits, no health insurance. Unlike other civilized countries where health care is a basic human right by law, but here we have a disease industry instead. So, I mean, some of these people are even putting little badges on the employees to monitor where they are in the building at all times, monitor the seconds of time they leave their chair, monitor their phone calls, anything where they might be leaving their desk and wasting precious company time. Kind of like an electronic sweatshop. Kind of like an electronic plantation. That's what the song is called.
That was a selection from the Jello Biafra CD called the No WTO Combo. Pretty amazing stuff there. And you heard it here on an expanded edition of Off the Hook, Electronic Plantation. Again, 212-209-2950. You'll get a copy of that CD with any pledge of $50 or more. And for a pledge of $100, you'll get two passes to H2K, the Hackers on Planet Earth conference taking place in New York City, where Jello is giving the keynote address this July 15th at 12 noon here in New York City. Again, you get a pass for the entire weekend and a copy of the CD for every pledge of $100. But again, as we said, we accept any call, any pledge. It all adds up. We're up to $850 so far. Didn't quite crack the $1,000 mark, but please, a couple of calls will do it. 212-209-2950. We have a bunch of people here in the studio with us. Actually, we have a whole lot of people here in the studio with us. Isaac over on the far left.
Hi.
How you doing?
Isaac's on the far right, but
well, he's on the far right as he's
oh,
sitting.
Oh, har.
As far as I'm looking at him, he's on the far left. Yeah. And Porkchop just center of left, and our special guest, Ed Hurston,
one of our
lawyers for the MPAA case. We talk about that in just a moment. We have Laszlo, Alex, and Shana all here at the same time in the studio. And we all want you to call 212-209-2950, please. Turned off the phone ringer thing because I found it distracting. But we'd like to get, we have one call on the line. That's good. Let's make it five calls. Why not? We can do it. We know there's people out there. We know you're driving around listening to the radio station. People do that all the time. We've got a great signal. But, you know, don't take the place for granted, because good things have a tendency of disappearing if you take them for granted. Like, you know, patches of forest, things that are on the side of the road that get taken over and turned into, you know, chains that you see every place. Same thing happens in radio. You ever have a radio station that you like and all of a sudden it switches format, changes? You used to work for a station like that, didn't you, Laszlo?
Yeah, they switched formats several times.
Are you at liberty to talk about that, you know, when they were really cool?
Yeah.
They were a cool station.
Mm-hmm.
And then they switched. You know, had all these listeners, had all these people following them, begging, screaming, threatening, all kinds of things. But it didn't matter. They just changed the station over. They changed it to some other format. That's the way it is. That's the way it goes.
Somebody told me one day when I was complaining about issues in commercial radio, they said, Laszlo, it ain't about the music. It's about the commercials.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. Now, think of it this way. You listeners are the commercials. Would you rather be the commercials, or would you rather we have commercials where we have to break every 5 minutes to sell something, and where we can't talk about things that are in the slightest bit controversial? Now, you know, the WTO things that we were playing just now, they're quite controversial to many people. What we're about to talk about now with the Motion Picture Association of America, that's extremely controversial to many corporate interests. We would not be allowed to have this discussion either on any commercial radio station. It just wouldn't happen. And I offer as proof the radio dial, just simply cruise around and see what you find. 212-209-2950. Think of it as a vote of support, a vote to keep us going. It makes a big difference. All right, we have Ed Hurston, who is one of the prestigious legal team representing us in court as we face charges against us by the Motion Picture Association and the various film houses out there.
Thank you. Thank you for that kind word.
Well, thank you for being there for us. Makes a lot of difference. And you're not just there for us. You're there for a lot of people. How do you see this case? I also want to introduce Mackie, who's joining us on the phone line from California. Mackie, you there?
Hi there.
Okay. So we have a lot of people here. How do you see this as influencing just...
by the 8 largest studios, most of which are members of the MPAA, in order to validate and get a judicial ruling that the Digital Millennium Copyright Act is good law. And they picked the defendants very carefully. I think they picked 2600 because you're perceived to be on the edge, someone mm-hmm. who pushes the envelope, someone who, or a magazine that's out there with an internet site that's out there talking about important issues that are not conventional issues, mm-hmm. let's say. The other two defendants who are no longer part of the case are people who put up websites or were the ISP for websites that called the MPAA very rude names or put up content like, hey, steal your DVD here. Obviously, 2600 is very different. It's a media defendant. It's a journal, it's a magazine, and it's a webcaster as well, or a web publisher as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the issues the 2600 addresses are issues that are political and of social import. Some of these other defendants were just there because they look bad. And what the plaintiffs, I believe, intend to accomplish here is to get this new law, this Digital Millennium Copyright Act, rubber stamped by the courts. And what this act does for the first time is it makes illegal conduct that has nothing to do with copying. The Copyright Act is about protecting copyrights. And I think everybody has agreed, certainly everyone I have talked to on the side of the defendants as well as on the side of the plaintiffs are agreed that copyright's important and that if someone writes a book or writes a song or makes a movie that they should enjoy certain special rights, mm-hmm. at least for a limited period of time, as conceived of in the Constitution as set forth in the Copyright Act. What's different about this Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which is an amendment to the main Copyright Act, is that what it makes illegal is evasion, circumvention of encryption technologies that protect copyrighted material. So in this case, 2600, you, Emmanuel, or the defendants that left, no one has been accused of copyright infringement.
What's especially interesting about that is it's one step removed now. Now, instead of just copyright infringement, if you figure out how to break encryption that protects copyright infringement, then you're guilty under the DMCA. But we didn't even do that. All we did was tell people about it, was show people how it had been done. And that's two steps removed as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's actually only partially right, because it's not yet illegal mm-hmm. to circumvent encryption. That the Congress wasn't quite sure how to handle this, so... They broke up the act, and part of it, which deals with what individuals do, circumventing encryption, they sort of punted on, and they created a 2-year rulemaking procedure, gave it over to the Register of Copyrights in the Library of Congress, and they're continuing the rulemaking procedures right now. There were hearings in Washington at the beginning of this month. Just a couple of days ago, there were hearings out at Stanford in California, and not until October will it be illegal for an individual to use DCSS. It's right now the only thing that's prohibited is the providing of or trafficking in or offering of a utility or a device that enables someone to circumvent encryption.
So if this goes a step further then in October, what kinds of things can we look forward to seeing?
Individuals being punished for doing what 2600 has been alleged to do. And the way they've sort of brought you guys in there is by posting the DCSS utility, they're saying that that constitutes providing or trafficking in or offering to the public a utility that can be used to circumvent encryption devices that protect copyrighted material.
Didn't the New York Times do the exact same thing a couple of
sure.
weeks ago when they linked to our link?
Sure. New York Times did it. CNN, CNBC, have either linked directly or linked to links where DCSS can easily be found. In other words, they link to a link that
that, or they link to a site that links to DCSF. And it's hard to say whether that isn't the same thing. Their point is that you've got to stop linking. This is their new motion. Originally, they got an injunction against posting, and now they've made a motion to expand that injunction to include linking. And that's the one that's really particularly frightening.
It is.
Because where does it stop? They seem to be suggesting that the First Amendment is something that can be measured by convenience or by clicks on a mouse, that if it takes one click, i.e. a direct link, well, then the First Amendment sort of is outweighed by the need to protect the DMCA. Mm-hmm. But if it's three clicks, you know, highlight an address and copy and paste it into the location bar, then that's okay. I mean, that, of course, doesn't make any sense at all.
No, especially when you consider the net is there for linking. That's what the net is. It's a bunch of links to actually start regulating them. It's I can't imagine. I mean, you'll be tied up every single day in court cases.
Yeah, that's right. I think what's at stake and why everybody should care about what this case is about and what the result of this case turns out to be is really control of copyrighted materials, control of intellectual property. Well, you know, historically, there have the exclusivity given to an author under the Copyright Act is limited. It's limited in duration, although with the Sonny Bono amendment to the Copyright Act, that's now 95 years. That's, you know, that
I still laugh every time I hear Sonny Bono amendment. I don't know. I just can't get that in my head.
There's sort of cognitive dissonance. But the other limitations have been court-created, but they're very real, too, and those are limitations of fair use. And historically, that's been the most important one because, you know, if you think about it, copyright, the exclusivity, the monopoly over expression of ideas that you get in copyright is completely contradictory to the First Amendment, right to freedom of speech. You know, if you have freedom of speech guaranteed by the Constitution, then how can anyone say, no, you can't use my words? And that's, you know, they're directly in conflict, the exclusivity of copyright and the freedom of speech of the First Amendment. That's historically been resolved by two different mechanisms. One is the sort of idea-expression dichotomy, which basically says that nobody owns an idea, but you can own the expression of an idea. So the idea to have a sitcom where, you know, a very prejudiced the head of a family lives in a neighborhood in Queens and makes jokes about people isn't protectable, but All in the Family, that expression, would be. Mm-hmm. The other one is fair use, which says that people can make fair use of copyrighted material under certain circumstances, for parody purposes, for academic scholarly purposes, to you know, a whole variety of purposes that are set out in the Copyright Act. One thing that this encryption that the plaintiffs have put in, that the movie studios have put in on all the DVDs, is that you can't get at the material at all. You can't make any use of it. And they're on record, as recently as two or three weeks ago, at an event at Yale University, the assistant or the deputy general counsel, Gerald Gochner, is on record as saying that if you want to make fair use of materials on a DVD first, you should try and find it on a videocassette. And, of course, there's stuff that is original to DVDs, and then the quality is different.
Mm-hmm.
And then second, he said, get a license. Mm-hmm. So it seems to be the MPA's point of view that fair use doesn't exist anymore.
And what do you have to do to get a license?
That wasn't got into, but uh-huh. I would imagine one thing you got to do is pay, which you've never had to do before, and just the transactional cost of, if you're an artist, the person who asked the question of the deputy general counsel was a visual artist, and she said, I typically use snips from music, from CDs, from video cassettes, from movies, in my art, and obviously, particularly for visual artists, the quality of the digital image on a DVD would be very attractive. Yeah, what's you supposed to do? Apply to, you know, Warner Brothers and say, I want to use 10 seconds of a particular movie for my art piece, and then they will determine whether it's art, whether it's deserving of fair use. It adds levels of oversight and control that have never existed.
Well, what about the I imagine they'll make this this argument that, well, we just want to get paid for our work. We want to, you know, otherwise you're ripping us off. You're getting something from us for nothing.
No,
we'll starve
The answer to that, I think, is pretty obvious. That most what we're talking about here are people who bought DVDs
mm-hmm.
and who want to play them.
Okay.
And who want to use them in legal ways. If people are stealing,
right.
that's illegal. That's copyright infringement. That's already illegal. It will be illegal. And the studios spend a great deal of money and are very good at policing it. It's within the limits of man's ingenuity and man and women's ingenuity. And people are very good at figuring out ways of making copies, and particularly offshore copies. There's not much they can mm-hmm. do about piracy. They seized, we've recently learned, I can't get into the specifics, but many, many millions of pirated copies just last year, which I think tells us that there's a lot more of them out there. DCSS is not a threat for piracy for a whole lot of reasons, most of which are very technical, and Mackie's probably better equipped to describe than I am. But this case isn't about piracy, and it's not about copying. It's about control over copyrighted material, and it's about control of intellectual property, and it's mm-hmm. about changing the ground rules for everybody.
Of course, they didn't start off by saying it's about control. They said it was about piracy. The MPAA said that when they brought the charges against us. And I think now a lot of people are seeing that, yeah, it's not about that at all. It's about control. Mackie, you have any kind of technical explanation as to why DECSS is not the choice for pirates?
Well, primarily, you know, it's not needed to... DECSS, of course, decrypts the DVD movies. And if you're a big-time pirater in Asia, you're just stamping out DVDs. You don't care to decrypt them before you make your bit-for-bit copy. And if you are copying it, as they allege, to transmit over the Internet, first of all, you're probably making it to a VCD, which is about a tenth of the quality on average, and DECSS isn't even needed in order to do that. There's been many, many different ways of doing it, which we even reported on Off the Hook back in 1997, that there was a DVD ripper, as they're called. It doesn't make any sense to use DECSS for that.
Interesting. And, of course, that's been listed as the scapegoat, as it were, for all these cases of piracy. The MPA wants you to believe that's the case.
Well, we might as well throw in some of the fun facts and figures of copying using DCSS.
Yes.
If you want to rip a DVD using DCSS, first of all, you've got to have a hard drive that's got at least 6, 7, or as many as 8 open gigabyte of space. Now, you know, if you went out and bought a new computer today, you could probably get a 20 gig hard drive. But mm-hmm. even as recently as 6 months ago, probably the biggest ones available, Mackie, you could correct me on this, were 12 or maybe even 16.
Well, you could buy a 40 gig hard drive, but I mean,
today,
most standard computers aren't going to come with one by default.
Yeah, that's right. And that's every you know, few months, the size of the standard sort of default hard drive gets bigger. But it basically eliminates people who bought their computer, let's say, a year ago or earlier, unless they went out and bought the biggest hard drive humanly available. The reason for that is that DVDs are huge. They have a tremendous amount of information on them. You know, the average is about 6 gigabytes, which is, you know, unspeakably large.
Mm-hmm.
So you use the DCSS to copy and decrypt the files, and then on your hard drive you've got 6 gigabytes. Now, if you want it of information that you could then play. Now, probably you've got a DVD player that's got CSS on it, so you didn't have to do this exercise in the first place. But if you want to, say, sell it to somebody, your options, you have several options. One is you could sell them your computer for, I guess, the fair market value of the computer plus $5 for the movie. But that's pretty silly. You could put it on a DAT tape, a DAT tape, but you're not going to have a lot of flexibility because you've got to rewind it and go forward and backwards, and there's a lot of trouble synchronizing the sound, and the quality is not going to be quite as good. And then you've got to go out and buy a DAT tape drive, and you've got to install that, and you've got to have an extra piece of equipment that costs, you know, not an insignificant sum. You can't really burn it onto a DVD because... first of all, DVD burners are almost impossible to find. Second of all, they cost $4,000 or $5,000. One was announced, I guess, within the last couple of days for $2,300.
A lot of big corporations have these, ironically enough.
The burners.
Yeah.
Yeah, funny.
It is. We can't get a hold of them, but I know they're out there.
Well, and the consumer ones are useless pretty much because they still haven't decided on a standard. So you're not sure if the DVDs you burn on your DDRW drive are going to work on the next one. And also, they pre-burn out the bits used to store the keys so that you can't just copy a DVD directly to another consumer DVD.
Right. And also, the media aren't big enough. The writable DVDs, the biggest one out there, I think, presently available is 5.4 gigabytes. You get some movies on that, which would only play on, you know, a handful of players. It wouldn't play on every player, just the ones that are formatted and that have that standard. As Mackie points out, it's not a uniform standard yet. But there's a lot of movies that wouldn't fit on it. Or if you really want to save some time, you'd send it to your pal on the Internet. You'd sort of upload it to a website. The problem with that is that if you're using a 56K modem, it's going to take you about 2 weeks. Okay? And then don't forget, you know, Michael Eisner, for example, is on record as saying that this DCSS is piracy, like in the old days, piracy on the high seas, because you can make copies of movies and email them to your friends instantly.
Do you think there's a chance that the people launching this lawsuit don't really understand the technology themselves?
I think that it's likely that not everybody involved knows exactly what's going on.
I like to think that Jack Valente maybe has been kind of misinformed, doesn't really understand the technology involved with DCSS. Maybe Michael Eisner doesn't realize that he's being manipulated and told that certain things do certain things, and they really don't do those things. You know, I'd like one last chance before we go to trial to just say, look, guys, you sure you understand what it is you're accusing us here? Because it really is kind of preposterous.
Yeah, I agree.
I highly recommend everyone go to the 2600 website and read the letter that Michael Eisner sent to all the Disney employees, because it's really hilarious. Mm-hmm. Just even the way that he talks to them, it's very sort of condescending, like, you know, they're all his little children. And he used the Pirates of the Caribbean analogy, which I thought was particularly priceless.
Yeah, that was a highlight for me too, Mackie.
Oh boy, we got a copy of that from a Disney employee, right?
Right.
And there's others out on the net. You know, of the thousands and thousands of employees, several have released it.
And Jack Valente gave a speech to the University of Oklahoma a couple of weeks ago, a graduation speech. I didn't hear a report from that. I don't know if he talked about this issue at all there. But I wouldn't be surprised if we made some allusion to it. If anybody was there, please let us know. Email oth@2600.com, or you can give us a call. If we take calls later, we'll give out the number. But it's a frightening thing, you know. I mean, I guess, Ed, you're used to it. You go to federal court a lot. But, you know, we've gone as spectators a couple of times, never as defendants.
It's not a lot of fun to be part of a lawsuit.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, in a case like this, it's the kind of case where it's easy to get ramped up. I mean, we're up against, you know, on the one side is 2600 Magazine, which, I think is a great journal. But it doesn't have the same resources as the 8 largest motion picture studios in America.
No.
We're talking Walt Disney Company, Time Warner Entertainment, Inc., LP, you know, Sony. I mean, we're talking megabucks on the other side.
It's like going up against foreign nations that are powerful and want to destroy you and things like that.
Well, they're probably annual income is larger than many foreign nations' annual GNP.
Sure. That's what you're dealing. You're dealing with massive amounts of wealth and power and just intent to get their way by any means possible. And I got to admit, it's a frightening thing. When this all started back in January, we didn't really know what we were facing, what kinds of things would be long. I mean, they tried to disqualify you as our lawyers. And I have to say, we won yesterday. You want to tell us something about that?
Yeah, that's right. Well, there's a disqualification motion made because our firm was in the process of representing as a sort of passive second plaintiff, the Time Warner. it's almost impossible to avoid. There are a certain number of firms that do entertainment work that do the that represent Time Warner and all the other big entertainment companies, and it is a fairly normal event that you'll be on one side of a deal with them day one and day two, or maybe even the same day, you'll be on the other side of a deal with them. That happens a lot.
Plus with all the companies that they own and control.
Right. I mean, they're huge, and it's very hard to avoid them.
You may not even know that this company happens to be owned by this other entity.
Right.
And, yeah, it's...
Well, and also, you might be dealing with music with Warner Chappell, and it'll have nothing in the least to do. You know, the other case had to do with a book.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a movie. It wasn't a movie yet.
Scholastic Book Services?
Well, Scholastic Books publishes the Harry Potter books, who are only the most popular books on Earth these days. And Time Warner has some residual interest in the Harry Potter books. Probably, I think, the rights to make the movies. I don't know exactly. I try to stay as far away from that case as possible, obviously, because I was working on the case, on your case.
Uh-huh.
But I think at the end of the day, the fact that the two cases had absolutely nothing to do with each other, that it was impossible, as they acknowledged, and fair play to them for acknowledging it. It's nice to see when someone says, well, yeah, in fact, there's nothing they can learn from that case that will hurt us in this case.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they waited for a month until we had come in, until they had said, we're ready to go to trial next week, and we said, no, we got to do some discovery. You know, we need some time to get the facts out on this case. Until after they'd made the motion to expand the injunction to include linking, they waited for all that till they finally said, oh, and by the way, you know, there's a conflict here.
Well, I think what they did was they saw that you guys were serious, that we actually have a competent defense team, that we're going to fight them tooth and nail. And then they said, uh-oh, we got to come up with something to stop this because we're going to be made fools of.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you there.
And it also makes it very difficult to find a firm to represent you against the major motion picture firm industry. Because, so many of them are afraid that if they represent someone against Time Warner, that then they'll never get another Time Warner contract, or they'll... Or they may already have a conflict of interest.
Yeah, you see, it kind of ties into what we were saying before about independence in media. They can do this to us, and it doesn't really bother us that much if we make mortal enemies out of Time Warner. Any other entity, you know, publishing entity, broadcasting entity, that might keep them up at nights worrying about just what it is they had done, you know, what kind of grave they're digging for themselves. But, you know, 2600 BAI, we kind of have a parallel in that way that... We can thumb our nose at the big guys and you know, face off against them on our terms and make it about the issues.
Well, one thing I think it's important to recognize here is that education is about what this case is about and what's at stake is very important, because just as you hope, and I share that hope, that when this case started, that the heads of the studios and the Jack Valenti didn't really know that the allegation that you could transmit a DVD movie instantaneously across the Internet was complete and utter nonsense. What they're protecting is very sympathetic to a lot of people. Their position is, hey, it costs us $100 million to make a movie. We need to have some kind of exclusive rights in that movie in order to make the money back so we can make these movies.
Mm-hmm.
We need that we need to have copyright in a movie, and we need to be able to enforce a copyrighted movie. And the thing that's important and that everybody should know is that I don't think anybody disagrees with that, but that's not what this case is about.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't alleged copyright infringement. It is simply not part of this case. What this case is about is whether individuals, groups, entities, students, teachers, artists, whomever, will have access to copyrighted materials if any kind of an encryption or protective system is put around it.
I think in some ways, though, they're projecting. They're projecting their fears of technology and saying, well, what if tomorrow it is possible to transmit an entire film in 1 second across the Internet? We have to be prepared for that. I mean, how would you answer them if that is their concern?
That's a tough question. I mean, the legal answer is certainly easier than any other answer, which is that's not this case. And when that happens, then you'll have a case. I think the real answer is that's something that's been coming down the pike for years. There's nothing new about that anticipation. And it's still several years off where you have that kind of national, basically backbone connection that everybody's got a T3 line connecting them to each other. Because all you need is one place in the connection to where the information would back up, and suddenly it's going to take days to upload or download a movie when you're talking about 6 gigabyte. But at some point in the next few years, then that reality will be here. They'll have had years to prepare for that. That's number one. Number two, infringement will still be illegal.
Mm-hmm.
There's no changing that. And three is we don't know. But that said, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act cannot mean that, as opposed to any other form of copyrighted material, that DVDs are out of the hands of the public, that nobody has any rights with respect to DVDs.
Yeah, I think that's what we have to keep coming back to, is that this is a case about people who have already bought the DVDs, people who have already bought the computers and are being told, you're not allowed to use the DVD in this computer, period.
One of the favorite analogies they make is that nobody has the right, and this is in the fair use contract, is that nobody has a right to break into a bookstore to make fair use of the text in some book. And that was quoted by the judge in this opinion, and you see it all over the place. That's not what's going on.
No.
What they're saying here is you can buy the book, but you can only read it if you're in a room that some licensed room builder made, sitting in a chair built by a licensed chair builder, using a lamp that the licensed lamp manufacturer constructed, wearing reading glasses that were put together by the licensed glasses manufacturer. I mean, what they're saying is they want to control every single aspect of how you view what you already bought.
I mean, I'll go on record as saying I don't think it's right to break into a video store and steal a DVD and use DECSS on it, all right? I don't think that's right at all. But I do think it's once you've bought the DVD, you can do whatever you want with it. It's your DVD. If you want to look at it on figure out a way to play it on your toaster, fine, go ahead. It's something that you have bought. But no, we don't support breaking into stores and doing things like that. I don't know why they would make that kind of an analogy, because it's got nothing to do with it. It's completely alien. Well, we have to take a short break to appeal to our listeners to help us out here. We have a couple of packages we're offering for our fundraiser today. As you know, every few months, three times a year actually, we have to ask our listeners to help us keep the radio station going. We've had some calls while we were talking, up to $1,350 now, so that's not bad. That's not bad. Maybe we should just talk more often, on about the issues. We'd like to do that, and that's what we do virtually every other week of the year. And it's for that we're asking you to call up and pledge. And you won't walk away empty-handed, because what we do is we make donations to the station of the things that we have. In fact, one of the things that we have right here are the anti-MPAA shirts. And I believe, Ed, you got a copy of one of those, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
You wear it with pride, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Some kids have gotten into trouble for wearing them in school. Can you believe that? How dare you criticize the MPAA on a shirt? It's like, what kind of sick society are we turning into? You can't even say something on a shirt. It's not even obscenity on it or anything. It's just, a big R-rated symbol. Not, the symbol isn't R-rated. It's, what you see on the screen with the big R on it when it's red and all that kind of thing. It's a takeoff of that. And it looks a lot like the cover of the Spring 2600. We're offering that along with our other T-shirts. It's the Off the Hook T-shirt package. We have a Blue Box T-shirt. We have a encryption T-shirt. And we have the brand new MPAA T-shirt. And we still have those CDs. The Jello Biafra CDs, and those all together for a $75 pledge, you'll get all of that. But more importantly, I don't want you to call up just because you're adding it all up and saying, hey, yeah, that's a good deal. I think I'm going to buy some shirts. You're not buying shirts. You're investing in the radio station as one of our sponsors, because every single one of our listeners is a sponsor, either through your ideas, through your input, or through your financial contributions, which allow us to continue to pay the rent to keep this place going. Nobody on this show gets paid to do anything, except their jobs, that's right, independent of the radio station. But we do this basically just as a labor of love to get the word out, to
to spread ideas, to talk about the issues that we find important. We hope you feel the same way. We hope you believe these things are important enough to give us a call, pledge some support, show that it means something to you. Again, we take Visa, MasterCard, American Express, or we'll send you a bill, and you can pay whenever you have the funds. Again, we accept any amount, but for the pledge of $75, you get the three T-shirts and the CD that we were offering. We also have the pledge of $50, where you get the Jello Biafra CD. Pledge of $100, and you'll get two admissions to H2K plus the Jello Biafra CD. A lot of different things. I don't want to spend too much time talking about all the different packages we have, because we have a lot of material we have to cover tonight, and we'd like to stay on topic. That's why we want to see a bunch of calls. We have no calls? Okay, someone's...
You said the phone number, dude.
I thought I said the phone number. See, I don't like to say the phone number too much.
You know, I work in commercial radio, if you want to just point over to me...
You be the phone number.
Right, and I'll be like...
All right.
You know what, Emmanuel? That number is 212-209-2950.
Right, right. Yeah, I forgot to say it. I'm sorry. I'm just so caught up in why. Why we have to... And you got a phone call. Do it again. See if you can get another
212-209-2950. So you probably wouldn't hear about this DECSS hoo-ha on other radio stations because they're owned by ABC, Disney.
Yeah, Time Warner.
Big Time Warner, big corporations.
You know, every time somebody interviews us, and, you know, people are always interviewing us about, you know, the latest virus that's being spread around.
Right, because that's your fault, dude.
Yeah, everything is a hacker's fault, absolutely. We always make a point of saying to them, you know, you guys are suing us. No, it's not us. We're not suing you. It's the people upstairs. They're the ones that do that kind of evil stuff. And I'm like, well, you know, if they're doing that, do you think maybe they could be influencing the kinds of things that you cover, the assignments that you get, the stories that you ignore? You think maybe there's a slight correlation there? And they're like, I just have a couple of questions. please answer them. You know, it's sad. I feel sorry for people that work in the corporate media because they have no control over what it is that they do, you know, and that's a very scary thing. 212-209-2950. We have two phone calls.
Stepping on my.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's your job. Go ahead.
212-209-2950.
Okay, Ed, we want to thank you very much for coming by. Ed Hernstein has been still is our lawyer and has been our guest tonight. And thanks for stopping in and updating us on what's been going on.
It's a pleasure.
It's as far as cases rank. This is one of the more
interesting.
This is up
there. Right? This is a fascinating case.
Uh-huh.
It's the first time. It's this legal issue has never been litigated before. So that's what, you know, litigators look for, is a case of first impression where you can sort of take the law and point it in the direction it should go rather than let someone else do it wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you for that.
Well, thanks for being there. We have to stand up to injustice, and I think that's sort of the theme tonight, that people are doing that. And, you know, it's a risk. It's a big risk. You are definitely taking a risk whenever you do this. So I want to thank you for being there, and we'll be in touch. We'll let people know what's going on.
Of course.
All right. Ed Hernstein, one of our lawyers fighting with us for justice and the American way. Right?
How many people are suing you right now, dude?
Well, that's an interesting question there, Laszlo.
Well,
I don't have that many. Well, actually, I do have that, just that many fingers. I think we're facing something like 5 separate lawsuits right now.
Threats of lawsuits.
Well, that's what I mean by facing them, because, right, you know, we've been, and this doesn't count all the ones that we've been threatened with in the past. It just never went anywhere. But the most recent one, of course, was Verizon, which is the company that doesn't really even yet exist, but they're already pissed off
right
at us.
Right, peace, man. We're going to sue you into
what
the ground.
What's up with that, with the peace sign? I mean, I don't know if everybody has seen these commercials, but they're all over the place.
I think it's a V for Verizon.
For victory.
Well, Mackie, you're out in California. Do you have Verizon ads out there?
Yes, we do.
Why do you have Verizon ads?
It's three
Verizon
different companies
wire
have joined.
It's
Bell Atlantic.
The whole AirTouch thing. We have AirTouch out here.
All right, wait. So, Laszlo, who's joined?
I don't know the three companies.
Bell Atlantic, GTE. Isaac?
Bell Atlantic, AirTouch, and GTE.
Your microphone's not working. Wait, you're the...
He's the
red one. I'm always the red one.
You crossed the microphone over
know,
like that.
Because I'm always the red one.
That was his idea.
Superstition. Can you believe this? He crossed the microphone over. Okay, go ahead.
Bell Atlantic, AirTouch, and I believe the third is GTE.
Yeah, the third is GTE. Unbelievable.
Wasn't it Nixon who got in trouble for the victory sign or something, and it got, like, banned in other countries because
doesn't it mean something offensive in other places?
Well, if you turn your hand around,
yeah.
In the UK, I know that's like giving somebody the finger, right?
Yeah, so you're giving them two fingers. But yeah, that's true. It does mean something. So be careful the way you're facing. The way you're facing.
We should take one of their commercials and like intersperse clips of Nixon.
You see, now even discussing this kind of thing is something that could be over the line for a lot of people. You gotta tread lightly and not offend the wrong people.
Don't say anything bad about corporations because you'll get sued.
Exactly. That's what we're moving towards. And you know, we've been doing this. We've been publishing now since 1984. We've been threatened several times. But nothing like this year. Nothing like this year. Verizon saying that by having our website, VerizonReallySucks.com, we couldn't get VerizonSucks.com because they already took it for whatever purpose they want to use it for. They're saying that we're infringing on their copyright by making a comment, by saying they suck. Now, Alex, you registered a site recently,
yes.
Too. What's your site?
The name of the site is VerizonEatsPoop.com. I registered it yesterday. I just wanted to note also that...
A real threat to corporate America there.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
Word poop. But, actually, VerizonSucks.cc is still available. The new .cc domains.
Those cost $100?
Yeah, they're pretty expensive.
Yeah, isn't this... How much money has been spent on these domains?
Well, it only cost me $15.
All right, $15. Well, how many other people are doing this? I mean, isn't it
Well, Verizon.
Childish?
Oh, Verizon, yeah. They're probably spending quite a lot of money.
Yeah, Verizon has registered hundreds of sites.
I heard VerizonIsCrap.com is taken.
Hey, how about a website called CallNow 209-2950 and pledge the money or we'll go off the air and all the corporate oppressors will, like, really be a drag.
Do you know how much... This radio frequency would be worth to them?
Millions.
No, tens of millions.
Tens of millions.
Hundreds of millions.
There's another New York frequency, 104.3, that went for almost $100 million.
Now, we operate at the same power.
Right.
We reach the same area that station reaches. We could sell easily for that amount of money. Now, we would never do that because this radio station belongs to the people. Why does it belong to the people? Because the people, like you, call us up and pledge and keep us going. We don't go to Time Warner. We don't go to Disney. We don't get money from them. We get money from you, and everything we broadcast on the air is your fault.
So you should call 212-209-2950.
That's right.
Because it's really depressing watching this number not move, dude.
Well, we do have two phones. Well, I'd like to think the reason it's not moving is because people are so busy in there answering the phone. That does happen sometimes. And I see two calls are on the line.
Right, but I mean...
But there's like eight people in there.
If you think about how much money you waste on a weekly basis, just, oh, I'll grab a Diet Coke, oh, I'll grab a six-pack of beer, da-da-da, and then you can't even shoot off $10 to a station... It's shameful.
Well, you know why they won't do it.
Why?
People won't do it because they don't think it matters. They don't think their voice will count. And that's the thing. You know, once you realize that your voice does count, you get kind of impatient. You wonder, how can people not believe that their voice matters? You gotta jump on the bandwagon and say, which is kind of funny because you're not really jumping on a bandwagon, but by being an individual, your voice does matter. It makes a difference. And you have to do it in order to see that that's true. And it's not just a question of spending money because, you know, that's one unpleasant reality of life that you have to do these things. But it's voicing your opinion in all different ways. Starting organizations, starting movements, just doing things that everybody tells you is a bad idea that'll never work. Well, do it anyway and see for yourself. Lots of times it does work. Lots of times you can start an environmental group and save that patch of trees that's going to turn into a 7-Eleven otherwise. You know, you can do things like that, and the reason you can do things is because most people won't. It's as simple as that. 212-209-2950. Four calls on the line. You see, Laszlo, that's how you get calls. Now, go ahead. Make that eight. Make that eight, Laszlo. I just went from two to four. See if you can go from four to eight. See what
you can do. Oh, no, dude.
Yeah.
Well, the number went up a lot.
It went up a lot.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah. And we're up to 1,670. That's what was...
Right, so that'll
far.
Pay for about a half hour of broadcasting.
Mackie, you're out there in California. You can't get WBAI there.
No, I can't.
Except on the Internet.
Yeah.
Well, that's something, I guess.
Perhaps shortwave.
Uh-huh. Well, now, tell us what the radio scene is like there. I mean, are you able to get any cool stations at all?
Oh, most of the time... Most of the year I'm way up north, quasi-rural area, but there's a university there. So you have lots of awful country stations, and there's like three modern rock stations that play the exact same playlist and are owned by the same people over and over again. It's absolutely awful.
Is that Infinity? Are they Infinity stations?
I'm really not sure of the name offhand.
Because both K-Rocks are programmed by the same guy.
Yes.
K-Rock
is,
LA and
K-Rock.
Oh, well, see, I guessed it. Ding dong. Yeah. And he also programs the same station up in San Francisco, Live 105.
Man, that's
it's scary when you realize this. Now, maybe people don't know this in New York, but in New York alone, we have a lot of competing radio stations that are owned by the same people. Now, where do you go for news? Where do you listen to news? WCBS Radio or something like that, News Radio 88. Right? That's where a lot of people go. Well, do you know what? Who's their competition? 1010
Wins. 1010
Wins, which is owned by the same people. They're owned by the same company,
which is
Infinity Broadcasting. Wins. Wait, who owns what? Is it CBS owns Infinity or Infinity owns CBS? I don't even know.
I don't know, but in February, January, I got to experience where all that money actually goes.
Really?
Because, yes, every tour, I'll never be invited back again, but two or three times a year, all the CBS radio stations nationwide actually invite people that spend lots of money to come on trips, and I went down to Atlanta for the Super Bowl, and I kind of weaseled in on this Infinity trip, but literally, they fly in thousands of people, media buyers, people that spend lots of money on the stations and so forth, and party them into the floor for a week. And I was talking to some of these people, and they're there every year. Sometimes they go to two or three trips a year.
This is why regular people can't get tickets to the Super Bowl,
right?
Because of all this.
I've never been to the Super Bowl, and I've never really been into professional sports, but it really upset me. There was all these kids outside begging for tickets, you know, that they're huge fans that drove all the way from St. Louis or wherever. And there's all these media fat cats and guys that are basically, you know, being, if you keep spending money with us, we'll keep getting you tickets to the Super Bowl every year. And I mean, the ticket was like $350 or something. We sat like three rows from the very top, and that was a $350 seat.
That's a real microcosm of the problems facing us today. It's like the average person is at such a disadvantage because they play by the rules, because they wait in line at Ticketron and try to buy tickets to something, but it doesn't matter because if you're part of the elite crowd, you'll just get right in. You'll just skip over everybody.
And they spent
millions. You were part of that elite crowd.
Yeah, I was. I broke in and offended a lot of people.
You could be part of a more elite crowd. 212-209-2950. We have six. Well, we had six calls on the line. I guess we're processing very quickly, so please continue to call up. $75, you get all three 2,600 shirts, including the brand new anti-MPA A shirt. Make a lot of friends with these. Actually, well, people will stop you in the street.
I wore mine at a conference last week.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of reaction did you get?
Well, I was at the Electronic Entertainment Expo, and I stepped onto the PlayStation booth, which is about the size of a football field,
uh-huh.
where they have big DVD symbols everywhere because the new PlayStation 2's DVD format, and got some knowing glances from people.
See, that's just it. There are people there that know what's going on. There's like 2,600 people in all these big companies that kind of give you a wink, you know, and send you the nice corporate memo every now and then that applies to you. And it's really cool. There's a lot of cool people out there. We're not knocking the individuals at all, and we understand why sometimes people have to make deals with the devil to survive, and why you have to work for some of these evil places. But the important thing is whether you're part of that or not. You can still be part of us. You can still keep this place going because this place is unique. And when it's gone, it's gone. Believe me, if this station were to fall into the wrong hands and go to some commercial entity, we wouldn't be able to just change our mind and go back and say, hey, you know, give us our station back. It doesn't work that way. Otherwise, you'd see BAIs all over the place. Why do you think you don't see them anyplace? You know, why do you think all the radio sounds the same no matter where you go? I guarantee you, if you tune up and down the dial right now, you'll basically hear the same voice over and over again. You don't hear accents on the radio. Why is it you don't hear accents on the radio?
Because everybody's got to sound white. There's no ethnicity here.
Do they tell you that? How do they phrase it?
I don't. You know, when I first moved to New York, they actually kind of harassed me. Because,
you're not from New York?
No, dude. I'm from Oklahoma.
You don't have an Oklahoma accent?
Right. But every now and then I would slip and say y'all or something like that, and they would just don't know.
You can say y'all here anytime you want. Absolutely. You want to say y'all, don't you, Isaac?
Oh, all the time.
Okay. 212-209-2950. Bernie S. joins us now from Philadelphia.
Hi, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm actually feel very privileged to be on the air tonight with such an illustrious crowd and for such a good cause.
Oh, don't be silly. We're privileged to be in your presence.
Okay, enough of this.
Right, you've been in prison longer than any of us.
That's true. Actually, that's not going to last much longer because we'll have Kevin on later on the show as well. So,
you can't associate.
Yeah, you can't associate, so you can't be on at the same time, unfortunately. But you can be on at the same time as Mackie, who is also with us from California.
Hi, Mackie. Hello there. Good to hear your voice again.
Now that that's out of the way.
Okay.
The magic of technology.
212-209-2950. Again, 3 2600 T-shirts. I believe everybody on the phone at least has all three of the shirts, right?
Indeed. I don't have them yet.
You don't have them?
I just pledged $100, Emmanuel. I guess I'll be getting the shirts. But
he keeps pledging and registering for conferences that he doesn't have to pledge and register for. I can't believe it. All right. Well, that's the kind of motivation that I guess we really need to have. If people who are part of the radio show themselves pledge to the radio show, that's great. That really is great. Thanks, Bernie.
Sure.
And please tell the other people why that's important.
Well, personally, I owe a huge debt of gratitude to WBAI listeners, to yourself, Emmanuel, and to the station, because about 3.5 years ago, I was in a much worse place than I am now. I was in near dungeon conditions in a prison with major injuries caused by the prison system, and I fully believe I would not have been released when I was from that situation had it not been for the efforts of WBAI listeners who had heard about my plight on the air and who made a lot of phone calls and faxes and letters to prison officials, and I was released in an unprecedented manner by a judge who previously was dead set against me getting out anytime soon. So it's beyond words how I felt when I realized I had so much support out there. And I will never forget that, and I feel forever obligated to this station and to its listeners.
Now,
so that's why I just played it.
Bernie, I should point out that, for people out there who think that that only hardened criminals wind up in prison and people are in prison for a reason. Well, you know, when you were in jail, I think the prison population was somewhere around the 1 million mark. Now it's just past 2 million.
2 million people.
And I don't think there are that many more criminals, and I certainly don't think that you did anything that was anywhere remotely criminal.
Well, the federal government stated in the sentencing report that there were no victims in the offense. So.
Uh-huh. But the offense itself was not, in my eyes, an offense. Why don't you describe for the people just what it is that they did to you, what they accused you of?
Well, it's not too different from what we're hearing today with this MPAA action. I was charged with the possession of hardware or software, possession, not use of it for anything, for the modification of telecommunications instruments for the unauthorized access to telecommunications services. And a lot of people would say, well, what does that mean? Well, it was software, basically, that could allow someone to have more than program a cellular phone so you could have two phones on the same account, still pay for all your bills. It didn't give anybody the ability to even steal service because that would require theft of something else first, which I was never charged with having anything to do with. But regardless, it was possession of a piece of software. And in this case, we have today we have this DCSS program, which the mere possession of which can constitute a crime. I mean, this is crazy. This software doesn't victimize anyone, this DCSS, and yet people are facing their livelihoods and possibly their lives being ruined as a result of a simple program that doesn't do anything that up until very recently copyright law encouraged. So it's very scary. It's more the more things change, the more they stay the same. But it indicates that the powerful entities, telcos, motion picture companies, can really have an effect on people's lives that are very negative. And I think this particular program, Off the Hook, does a good job of educating people about these abuses of power.
It's quite a saga, and it's something that we went through with you on the air here on the radio show back in, what was it, 96?
It was 95 and 96.
95 and 96.
Those 2 years where my life was pretty much a living hell. The best part the best part of every week was being on Off the Hook from a prison phone. There's weeks when I was actually able to get to a prison phone.
Wow. I can't imagine. I mean, you know, I visited you there a few times, but I can't imagine what that was like. And I think a lot of us don't, I guess as a defense mechanism, we just don't think about what's really going on in the world.
Because Kevin can imagine it, I'm sure.
It's too painful. Who can imagine it?
Kevin.
Well, Kevin, yeah, Kevin's not with us right now. He'll be with us later, and he can tell us a lot of things. But even Kevin did not go through the brutality that you went through. I don't think he could match that, especially the later part. I mean, were it not for the publicity that we were able to get for you through WBAI, you could have been in prison a lot longer, don't you think?
Definitely. My parole date had come and gone, and months had passed since my parole date, and nothing was happening. It was very strange. Clearly, the Secret Service had some influence in seeing that my parole papers never even made it near the top of the pile. But for some reason, I was transferred between five different maximum security prisons, and the conditions in some of those were pretty awful. It's really, you got to see the visiting areas. You didn't get to see the awful.
It was sickening just seeing that. But maybe for the benefit of the listeners, you could describe kind of what everyday conditions were like. And before you do that, please give us a call, 212-209-2950. We're at $1,995. That means one more caller will get us over the top of the $2,000 mark, which is great. That's $2,000 more for the radio station to keep going. It's expensive to run this place, but it's worth it. It's worth whatever it is we have to spend to keep the place going, because we'll have a voice forever into the future to talk about things like this. Unfortunately, we're going to have more injustices like the Bernie S. case, like the Kevin Mitnick case, and like all the other things that have been happening will continue to happen. There are things we can't even imagine that are coming down the pike. If we're not here to talk about it, you won't find out about it. You have to trust the same people who are right now suing us to get us not to reveal how things work. You have to trust them to bring you the truth, and you know, that's something that I know I don't want to trust them. Pork chop.
I might be lost.
Did you switch your mic too?
No, I didn't. I'm still at the.
He's white, dude.
Oh, you're white. I'm sorry. I thought you were gray. Okay, you're white. Go ahead.
I'm gray. The drama is, I'm sure, lost in the radio world, but since I'm a student, I can only afford a little bit, but there is $50.
$50 on the table, right?
$50 on the table, it's going.
A pledge person, please come and take Porkchop's money from him.
Oh, no.
They're like a half mile down the studio.
Oh, I'll go over to them later, but if they don't want to come up here.
All right.
But there's $50. I believe in this radio station. I believe that it must be here.
You've got six calls on the line for that that act of
for
generosity.
For that act, yes.
There.
That
thank $50
is no longer in my wallet.
Now, if anybody should be paid for what it is that they're doing, it's you. I mean, you know, people put in their heart and soul into this place, and they get nothing but the satisfaction of knowing they did something. And I think that's really great when people can do that and figure out ways to survive, because you do need to survive in this world. The reason that we have a place to go to, that is entirely because of the listeners. If they weren't there, we wouldn't be here. If we weren't here, then stories like Bernie S.'s would not get out. And then people like Bernie S. wouldn't get out, because they'd be stuck in prison and all kinds of horrible things would happen. 212-209-2950. I'm sorry, Laszlo, that's your job.
No, I wanted to bring it up that it's quite ironic that when Bernie S. was in prison, even the Secret Service called BAI to say, you know, we'd really appreciate it if you didn't have him on there anymore.
Yeah, they wanted us to give them tapes and everything.
Talk about conspiracy theories, dude. Yeah. That is insane.
It's scary.
It'd be like WBAI, the station that the Secret Service doesn't want you to listen to.
But, you know, the thing that inspires me is that there are people out there, a lot of them high school kids, that have such courage to stand up to things like that. When I was in high school, I don't think I had that much guts to stand up to, you know, even a county cop or anything like that. But they're standing up to the Secret Service. They're standing up to the FBI. They're standing up to all these people putting up web pages that, you know, they could get in trouble for, you know, I mean, in this country, you should be able to criticize whoever you want. But face it, Bernie, if you criticize the wrong people, I mean, what's the real reason you went to prison? We all know what that was.
Well, this isn't speculation. This is coming from the prosecutor who used to work with my attorney when he was a prosecutor. And she told him that the real reason, and I quote, the real reason that Ed is still in prison has to do with photographs surveillance photographs of undercover Secret Service agents picking their noses. And I had other materials in my personal files, like names and addresses of Secret Service agents, phone numbers, that sort of thing. People were like, why would I be collecting this information? Well, because the Secret Service had already shown themselves to have some sort of a plan to violate the rights of the hacker community. Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, I heard a loud click. I didn't know if
that
cut off.
That would be
that's
the Secret
tapping
Service.
In, yeah.
They're
right.
Tapping in now. They still don't have the new equipment that doesn't click.
The Kalia switch hasn't been installed yet.
Bernie, it sounds funny to us, you know. You
well,
have pictures
funny.
Of Secret Service agents picking it, but you know.
At the time, you know, those pictures ended up broadcast through the grapevine here. They got broadcast on the local Fox TV affiliate on the evening news. Now, we all thought it was very funny here at the 2600 meeting here in Philadelphia at the time. That was 1994. And apparently, and I heard this from one of the Secret Service agents as they were driving me to the federal building, that they took a lot of heat for that, and there was some cause of great embarrassment. So they weren't aware, until my home was searched, they weren't aware that I was, you know, in some way responsible for these photographs ending up on evening news of Secret Service agents picking their noses in an undercover. Well, I think they're upset that their covers were blown, and two, that they're blown in an embarrassing manner. Now, the prosecutor told my attorney that was the real reason that the Secret Service took an interest in my case. And you were there, Emmanuel.
Mm-hmm.
You heard how hard the Secret Service fought to keep me locked up. So that's what the case was about. It clearly wasn't about victimizing anyone, because the own federal sentencing report even said there were no victims in the case. But frankly, my case is not unique. It may have been unique in that it was a special law and I was the first person charged with it and all that stuff. But there are abuses of the justice system every day.
It was really...
Every hour.
It was unbelievable because, yeah, I was there in court that time and they were talking about all the things that they were accusing you of or speculated that you may have done. I remember one of them was that, I don't think I was there for this one, but it was something that was well recorded in the history books, that they thought that you might have possessed C4 explosives, plastic explosives.
Good one.
And in actuality, this material that they thought was C4 turned out to be dental putty because, you happened to live in a house that the previous occupant was a dentist, and he happened to have all these chemicals in the basement that were just left over and sitting there. So they find this material they think is C4 plastic explosives. They test it. They realize it's not as dental putty, but they said this in front of the judge months later. They said this, that the fact that it could have been concerned them greatly, and for that reason you should continue to be locked up. And the judge just accepted it and kept you in prison based on that. I mean, how are such things even possible?
I imagine if you sat through most court cases, you would find equally ludicrous misrepresentations of facts by law enforcement officials and by prosecutors. I mean, that's their job. I mean, I don't think it should be. That's how they view their jobs. I think they think that, well, so many people escape justice, so they're going to bend the rules and twist the truth a little bit just to get somebody they really feel should be locked up even longer. So,
how much of your life did you lose because of this?
14 months in total in five different maximum security institutions. But frankly, you know, I don't feel my case is special anyway. There are people who are serving much longer sentences in prison who harmed no one. I mean, at least 60% of the people, probably 65% of the people I saw in prison were there for well, maybe not that many. Maybe like 50% were there for simple drug possession, not even selling it. And it's nuts. I mean, it's just victimless crimes. People should not be locked in cages for long periods of time or for any period of time, in my opinion. But,
absolutely.
So I don't think my case or Kevin's case are unique in the fact that prosecutors and law enforcement officials basically committed perjury, falsified information, or misrepresented information, at least, in order to get convictions. That happens. That's the standard operating procedure. So my case is not special in that respect. What was special is that I happened to know you. I happened to know about, you know, Off the Hook. I'd been on the air long before that whole ordeal started. And what was unusual about my case is that people became aware of it on a large scale. And that's the only reason I got out when I did, out of that nightmare, because I had
52 stitches on my body from that ordeal, and I couldn't even open my mouth. It was wired shut. So
you want to tell us how that happened? But let me just make a programming note. We're running an extra hour tonight. If you're tuning in for Talk Radio, the voice of the Arab community, will be on next week at this time. We're going an extra hour with Off the Hook, hoping for listener support. Please call us while Bernie S. is telling his story because... Oh, I'm sorry, Laszlo. It's your job. Go ahead.
Right. You should call 212-209-2950. 209-2950.
Thanks to the people on the line already. We're up to $2,765, which is great. We want to thank people for calling in. Let's keep that number going up.
$2,600.
Yeah, we passed $2,600. It just went right by. We didn't even see it. 212. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, 212-209-2950.
Damn unions. Can't even say the phone number. Bernie, I want you to continue with your story, but I want to thank some people.
I don't want to bore people with this stuff. They've heard it before.
I don't think... Well, first of all, what you have to understand about radio, and I think Laszlo understands this perfectly well, is that a lot of people tune in and out. A lot of people come and go. Some people may be hearing this station for the first time ever, and certainly this program for the first time ever. A lot of people haven't heard your story. It's very compelling. And, you know, I've heard your story 1,000 times, and it's still interesting every time I listen to it. So don't sell yourself short like that. Definitely, yeah. Definitely an interesting story, and we're going to continue with that in just a moment. Let's thank some people first. Laura from Long Beach, thank you very much for something particularly funny, Laszlo?
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe you can share it later. Duke from New York, thanks for your pledge. Robert from Sound Beach, thank you very much for calling up. Lonnie from Indianapolis. Indianapolis, what do you think about that?
Indianapolis representing at 212-209-2950.
Yeah.
Represent your city.
That's right. That's right. That's great. I'm really happy to hear from people from other parts of the country as well. Doesn't mean you people in New York are off the hook, though. No pun intended.
No.
212. I really didn't mean that when I said it. I really didn't.
That's almost my quality.
No, that's
pretty bad.
212-209-2950. Please, let's get those phone lines lit up. We have $75 package, 3 T-shirts, 2600 blue box shirt. Beautiful shirt there. It's a blue rectangle, which is a blue box. But in addition to that, it's a schematic for a blue box, which, of course, blue boxes were used in the past to make free phone calls from phone freaks and basically explore the phone network. Now, I don't think you could even talk about that these days without getting in trouble. But back in the 60s and 70s, that was kind of a rite of passage of a lot of people. So you get that shirt. You get the encryption shirt, which has all kinds of algorithms and things on there that I don't even understand. And people can use that to decrypt things and encrypt things. And the most recent shirt, the MPAA, the anti-MPAA shirt, that has a really scary picture of Jack Valente on the back. Have you seen that? It's really scary.
Squashing a hacker.
Yeah, yeah.
Strangling him for daring to watch a DVD that he owns.
So,
you want to tell us how that happened? But let me just make a programming note. We're running an extra hour tonight. If you're tuning in for Talk Radio, the voice of the Arab community will be on next week at this time. We're going an extra hour with Off the Hook, hoping for listener support. Please call us while Bernie S. is telling his story because... Oh, I'm sorry, Laszlo. It's your job. Go ahead.
Right. You should call 212-209-2950. 209-2950.
Thanks to the people on the line already. We're up to $2,765, which is great. We want to thank people for calling in. Let's keep that number going up.
$2,600.
Yeah, we passed $2,600. It just went right by. We didn't even see it. 212. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, 212-209-2950.
Damn unions. Can't even say the phone number. Bernie, I want you to continue with your story, but I want to thank some people.
I don't want to bore people with this stuff. They've heard it before.
I don't think... Well, first of all, what you have to understand about radio, and I think Laszlo understands this perfectly well, is that a lot of people tune in and out. A lot of people come and go. Some people may be hearing this station for the first time ever, and certainly this program for the first time ever. A lot of people haven't heard your story. It's very compelling. And, you know, I've heard your story 1,000 times, and it's still interesting every time I listen to it. So don't sell yourself short like that. Definitely, definitely an interesting story, and we're going to continue with that in just a moment. Let's thank some people first. Laura from Long Beach, thank you very much for something particularly funny, Laszlo?
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe you can share it later. Duke from New York, thanks for your pledge. Robert from Sound Beach, thank you very much for calling up. Lonnie from Indianapolis. Indianapolis, what do you think about that?
Indianapolis representing at 212-209-2950. Yeah. Represent your city.
That's right. That's right. That's great. I'm really happy to hear from people from other parts of the country as well. Doesn't mean you people in New York are off the hook, though. No, no pun intended.
Oh,
212. Yeah. I really didn't mean that when I said it. I really didn't.
That's almost my quality.
No, that's
pretty bad.
Or lack thereof.
212-209-2950. Please, let's get those phone lines lit up. We have $75 package, three T-shirts, 2600 blue box shirt. Beautiful shirt there. It's a blue rectangle, which is a blue box. But in addition to that, it's a schematic for a blue box, which, of course, blue boxes were used in the past to make free phone calls from phone freaks and basically explore the phone network. And I don't think you could even talk about that these days without getting in trouble. But back in the 60s and 70s, that was kind of a rite of passage of a lot of people. So you get that shirt. You get the encryption shirt, which has all kinds of algorithms and things on there that I don't even understand. And people can use that to decrypt things and encrypt things. And the most recent shirt, the MPAA, the anti-MPAA shirt, that has a really scary picture of Jack Valente on the back. Have you seen that? It's really scary.
Squashing a hacker.
Yeah, yeah.
Strangling him for daring to watch a DVD that he owns.
Hits close to home. And, of course, on the front of that, you have the big rated R screen with a few modifications. That's all yours for a pledge of $75, plus the No WTO Combo Jello Biafra, a brand-new CD coming out, Jello Biafra being our keynote speaker at H2K. That's for a $75 pledge at 212-209-2950.
And if you donate $20, you feel really warm and fuzzy.
That's right. Now, if you donate anything, you feel great. You really do. People think I'm just saying that, but it's a good experience. It's not like getting mugged. All right. It's basically you're contributing something. You feel like your voice matters, and it does.
And when you're talking to somebody, and they bring up the station. You say, "Yeah, I'm a member. You know, I support that. That's you know, little pride there."
Right. And it doesn't. You know, I want to talk to a lot of people who don't agree with everything they hear, because I don't agree with everything I hear on the station. Nobody does. I think it'd be impossible to agree with everything because we have such widely diverging groups of people from all different walks of life. So basically, if you listen to the station and you get something out of it, you like something you hear, you learn something, that's worth supporting.
And it's one less station that's running Rush Limbaugh. 209-2950.
I want to thank Mike from New York for his pledge, and Peter from, oh, wow, this is a good one, Peter from Woodsley, Ontario.
Oh, we're going international.
That's
now.
In Canada, yes. That's really cool. Now, you see, this is the power of the net. The net is being used to bring the signal WBAI out to people around the world. And I think that's really great. That shows you how important this place is for people in other countries to show their support. You know?
Where do you go online to hear this thing anyway?
Well, for this show, you listen to www.2600.com/offthehook. And on there, you'll find all the shows from the past as well. And while we're on the air, we broadcast with the help of a lot of very dedicated servers and coders out there. And we owe them a great debt of gratitude for making this possible every week. Just by hooking together computers and talking to each other and just making it all happen, we get a couple hundred more people that would not have been part of this as a result. And that's such a valuable thing, is people donate their time, their machines, just for this. And that's, I think, is incredible.
Speaking of which, we do have the need for more coders.
Ah.
Yeah, so we have lots of servers. The servers are the ones that actually receive the encoded audio streams from the coders. The coders only need a 56K modem, or even less. If you happen to be in the listening area, normal radio area of WBAI, and you want to help us out, please help us out. Please email oth@2600.com, and I'll forward your email to Junes, who is right now coordinating all of the coders and streamers and all of those people, and getting this out to everybody in the world, really.
That's right. And you can listen to it all over the world. You can listen to it any place, as long as you have a connection to the Internet. That's real power right there. That's able to reach people and get input from people as well.
Where have some of our listeners been, Emmanuel?
Where some of
our international listeners?
We got a call once from Singapore, I remember. That was kind of cool.
I remember that. From Ireland call a while back?
Ireland, Scotland, Israel, Japan, it's all, Australia, all over the place. So, yeah, it's definitely getting out there. Definitely works. Somebody asked before where you can listen to WBAI, period. I believe WBAIfree.org is the website that broadcasts our signal 24 hours. If that's not working, go to realradio.org. www.realradio.org, and that has a link to a bunch of different radio stations. We're one of them.
And
you can listen 24 hours a day.
That's not even to mention all the people who listen in the archives from
all over the world all the time.
That's right. That's right.
Sorry, actually, I have to excuse myself. I got to run.
Ah.
But
okay.
It was great being on. Thank you for the privilege.
Well, Mackie, thanks for joining us. Thanks for all your hard work, Mackie,
right.
The webmaster of 2600.com. And okay.
And
we'll
see everyone at Hope.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Take care.
212-209-2950.
That's right. Hey, you know what? I think we're learning something. Remember last week, or 2 weeks ago, we had Kevin and Bernie on at the same time, and we thought Bernie didn't hang up? Well, Mackie just hung up, and we didn't hear the little fast, busy thing. Oh,
there it is.
Wait a minute. Oh, well. I got to get rid of this.
Where is it? Make it stop.
Okay,
make it go away.
Bernie, you're back.
Hung up, Andy?
I was trying to clear your name there, but... All right. Well, I guess you do get the fast busy when you make an outgoing call. I didn't know for sure. Now we know that's true. Let's continue thanking people. Hey, look, a pledge from Bernie S. Thank you very much for your generous pledge, Bernie.
No problem.
Thanks to Alan from Clifton, New Jersey. Thanks to Bernice from Plainfield, New York.
Hey, Bernie S. Yes, maybe you can go and get some action with Bernice.
Plainfield, New Jersey. Thank you, New Jersey. I'm sorry. Bernice and Bernie in three names apart. Want to thank Nick from Sandy Hook, Connecticut. All right. And Dino from Brooklyn, thank you for your pledge. John from Broad... I don't know where this is. This is bad handwriting, folks. I can't read this. I can't read the state. I think it's... What zip code would be 20 series? Is that Virginia? I think it's Virginia. Yeah. What do you think this is? The town.
Oh, boy. Brother. Yeah, that's Virginia, dude.
It's Virginia. But what's the name of the town?
Broad.
Something.
Broad Run.
Broad Run. Right. Okay. Thank you very much for the pledge from Virginia. And I also want to thank Juan from Brooklyn.
First person to call from Virginia, says here.
Wow. That's pretty cool. I also want to thank Adam from Red Bank. Boris from Woodcliff Lake. Alan from New York, and let's see, this person wants to be known as Intuition from Haddon Heights, New Jersey. Okay, that's fine with us. You can be known as whatever you want to be known as. Boy, a lot of people here to thank. Katie from, well, here's another bad handwriting thing, something in New Jersey.
But might I say that when you hear your name on the radio, it's a very special feeling.
Well,
why
it is.
Call now and... Donate, 212-209-2950.
That's right.
That's my little pledge for
you. You can't get your name read on other radio stations, no matter how much
right.
money you give.
Yeah, call K-Rock and try to get your name read.
It's not going to happen.
That was Pearl Jam, great.
Or they make you look like real idiots when you do call in.
That's because they're so cool, Gen X, man.
Yeah, they sure are. Can you read that, Tom?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I barely read that.
Seagirt, New Jersey.
Uh-huh. Does it have to play Seagirt?
Seagirt. S-E-A... Space G-I-R-T.
I don't think that's the right spelling. Well, it'll get to you no matter what, because the zip code's right, right? That's what matters.
I've heard of that town.
You've heard
what,
of Seagirt?
I have heard of it.
Okay.
Well, this person...
I don't know what it means, but I've heard it before.
All right.
Katie will be coming to the Off the Hook conference, so we can ask Katie there.
It's really the H2K conference, but if you ask anybody in the city, they'll direct you to the right one.
The Off the Hook conference.
Yeah, well, that's fine. But
I got in on the show a bit late, Emmanuel, but did you talk to people about the H2K conference coming up?
We mentioned it a bit. We mentioned the keynote speaker. We mentioned the fact that we'll be debuting the film and a bunch of other things. So if you want to talk about it at all, go right ahead.
Well, it's almost too much to... We couldn't cover everything in the rest of the show that's going to be happening at H2K.
Yeah.
It's going to be 3 days of nonstop stimulation.
Well, yeah, I guess that's one way of putting it. It's certainly going to be draining on us, I'll say that, because we'll probably be up for 3 days straight. And, you know what that is? That noise is my beeper in vibrate mode.
Wow.
And, hey.
It's kind of funny when it says nonstop stimulation.
Yeah,
nothing vibrates.
I was going to record
that one.
You know how right I was?
That is something, all right.
Bernie, did you do that?
It's a special guest that beeped us who we're going to be calling, a surprise guest.
Is it Jack Valente?
Wouldn't you like to know? yeah, this person willingly wants to be on the air, so don't worry about that.
We're going to call Jack's house.
Let me finish thanking people, then we can get to our special guest. And please, what's that phone number again?
That would be 212-209-2950.
Sorry, I caught you drinking something.
209-2950. Won't you call now?
Yes, we have three calls on the line. We're over $3,000.
Yay.
And we want to thank everybody really a lot for supporting the station and supporting the show, telling people that it matters, because it means something to us to know that it matters to other people, just not us. You know, when we're talking about the Bernie S. case and the Kevin case and all kinds of other things, it's good to know people are out there who are listening, and it does matter. It really does. Let me thank Arnell from New York and Karen from St. Albans. And also Mike from New York City. Thanks very much for calling in and showing your support, showing that it matters. Our number again?
212-209-2950.
And what's that country code?
That would be 01...
No.
No?
No. Just one.
I never called the United States. Dude, I'm here.
That's just it. You know, when we go overseas, we don't know how to call back because we don't know our own country code. But, yeah, the whole country code is one. Actually, I think we're the only country that doesn't have its own country code. We share with Canada.
Right. We need somebody out there that's listening internationally to at least call and...
Well, Canada's another nation.
Right. I know that, too.
They know that, too.
Right, but you don't have to show your passport. That's, you know what I'm saying?
Actually...
Oh, you do.
There's a hard ass at the Buffalo Crossing I had to show my passport to.
Well, except for that guy. What I'm talking about Singapore. I'm talking about Australia.
Custom
Somebody's got to give some Deutschmarks or some Euros or something before they devalue anymore. Give them to BAI. 212-209-2950.
That would be really cool just to get one guy from somewhere just donating $10, $15.
15 euros.
15 euros, yeah. Right, what is 15 euros, like 10 cents?
Actually, now speaking of devaluation, did that gentleman pledge in American dollars or Canadian dollars from Canada?
I don't know. I had this whole... I was on the phone with Canada today, actually, having to deal with that whole thing.
How much is a Canadian dollar worth?
1.51 Canadian dollars to $1.
Thank you.
That says up today at 5 o'clock.
Wow. It's always doing a minor exchange there, I see.
Well, see, the deal is that all the actors in the United States are on strike. So,
yes.
Yeah, so you have to go to Canada to produce radio commercials. It's good fun.
It's also a wonderful way to break in as a new voiceover person.
Mm-hmm.
Fine,
all right.
Fine.
That number, once again, Laszlo, is...
212-209-2950.
Please join the three people on the phone and pledge your support. Again, we have a $75 pledge. You'll get all three existing 2600 T-shirts, Blue Box shirt, encryption shirt, and anti-MPAA shirt. And again, I should point out the anti-MPAA shirt was made so that we could raise funds for the defense of 2600 and of all the other people who will be prosecuted as a result of this kind of a precedent being set. We're donating these shirts to WBAI because we realize that WBAI is important to our defense. So it all goes into the same basic thing. If we have a voice here to speak out and to spread the word about what's happening in the community, we are all the better for it. And that's why it's important that you call 212-209-2950. Show your support for that as well. And we also have a new package, too. This is the final one of the night, so we just want to make sure people know about all the different packages available. This one, if I can find it, let's see. Yes, this is for $125. You'll get all four existing CD-ROMs that we have of Off the Hook. That's every show that we've done from 1988 to 1997. We don't have it yet from 1997 to now. Because, we just didn't get around to making it. But we will. We promise. And we'll, in fact, maybe what we'll do is we'll have a DVD ROM, if we're allowed to do that, if Jack Valenti doesn't sue us for even considering doing that. Four CD ROMs of shows from all over the place, all over.
Vintage Bernie S. material.
Exactly. If you want to hear the whole Bernie S. saga unfold live, that's the way to do it. And we're going to go back to Bernie S. and hear some more of his story in just a moment. But in addition to those four CD-ROMs, you also get the CD from Jello Biafra, the brand-new No WTO combo that just came out from Alternative Tentacle. That's for a pledge of $125, pledge of $75, three T-shirts and the CD, and a pledge of $100 admission to two admissions to H2K as well as the CD.
And for $20, we'll say your name on the radio.
That's right. For any pledge, we'll say your name on the radio.
212-209-2950. Please, our Euro-wielding listeners, call now. 212-209-2950.
We're at $3,315. We have one call on the line. Let's please add to that. Let's make some more calls come in. 212-209-2950, country code 1. I don't know where else you could possibly be calling from. You might have to dial 9 if you have to get out of the switchboard or something like that. If you're on a cell phone, just drive carefully and you know, don't cause any accidents while you're pledging. Have your credit card in hand or whatever it is that you want to pay with. Cheshire Catalyst joins us from Florida. Cheshire.
Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
You're in a very special area code. You want to tell us something about this?
Well, yes. Last year when the Public Service Commission put out a call that they were having a hearing on splitting the 407 area code, I went up on the Internet. Being a bit of a phone freak, I knew to look on the website of the North American Numbering Plate Administration, NANPA.org, NANPA.com, excuse me, and found the page with all the area codes on it, 201 New Jersey, 202 D.C., blah, blah, blah. Got down and saw one that was available for geographic relief, and it was number 321. Well, I moved down here to Florida because I like to watch things go up. And it struck me that 321 would be respectful of the countdowns that go on around here.
Right.
So at that point, I turned off the web browser, powered up the word processor, and prepared my testimony. Well, the Public Service Commission loved the idea from the get-go, and I am now being able to receive calls in area code 321.
And it's all because of you. No one else thought of this? No one at NASA said, hey, yeah, 321 area code would be perfect for us?
Well, as a matter of fact, I got to the Public Service Commission hearing scared that someone else had come up with the idea because, to me, it was too simple an idea. But no one else had looked at the list. No one knew that this number was available. No one realized that, yes, it could be done. So I went to them. I asked for it. They approved it. So it must be my area code since I asked for it, right? But I share.
Well, I think that's brilliant testimony to the fact that a hacker, a phone freak, will figure things out before other people and use them for good. And he certainly used them for good. It affects billions of people.
Well, the trick is that you get a good idea, you get it at the right time, and you get it to the right people at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
The right time was the Public Service Commission series of hearings about the split. Now, this is like way back when 212 was splitting up. I was living in New York City at the time. I was one of the few people that went to the Public Service Commission there in favor of the split. I was saying, yes, let them put in the 718 area code, but in return, we want you to remove that $1 a month charge on touchtone so that we can touchtone in those extra four digits, and it wouldn't be so much of a hardship. And that didn't go at the time. Since then, of course, they have realized the folly of still having the extra charge for touchtone after all these decades.
Do you know there are some places that still have the charge? I think Porkchop, you live in an area that they still charge you for touchtones.
Yes, they still charge in 201.
Did you know that, Cheshire?
That's silly.
That is. And the same company, too.
In 1964, when touchtones were a novelty and you had to keep people from everybody wanting it too fast before they could install the equipment, yeah, there was a reason to put a premium on it. But today, they have to go in and change the hardware to take it off.
That's
you're
right.
Be using rotary dialing.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's something. Cheshire, now you've been around for a while doing this kind of thing. Where'd you get your start in the hacker world?
Oh well, I started playing with telephones at age 12, and I don't want to go into how long ago that was. considering I just went to the AARP convention for the first time this year.
Oh my goodness!
Just qualified for that.
Did you go to Winnebago?
No. Living here in Florida, it was easy to just pop over to Orlando for a day at the conference.
What a surprise they had the AARP convention in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
They have
yeah.
a good brunch, good buffet.
And, it was quite interesting. It was amazing who was showing up there. I even spoke to the loneliest man in town, the fellow at the exhibit hall booth from the IRS. Nobody was talking to him.
I can imagine.
Yeah. The folks at the Social Security Administration were pretty busy, and even NASA had a very large exhibit there because they want to explain to their constituents, to the taxpayers, what NASA is about.
What all that noise is passing over their heads.
Yes, exactly. And to explain that the space program is important to America.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like I said, it's one of the reasons I'm down here. I like to help support that space program and get the word out. And that's why I put in for the 321 area code to let people know this is where it all happens.
So you moved down there to basically to watch things get launched. Now, how many launches have you seen?
Oh, too many. I've never really kept count.
Really?
You have to remember that I used to spend money to come down here when I lived in New York to come down to watch launches.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the last Saturn V go up, the one carrying the Skylab.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, that was back in 75.
Did you see it come back down?
No. I did not go to Australia for that. But and I didn't want it to go down. In fact, I had once met Nikolai Rukavishnikov, a Russian cosmonaut, at the Convocation on Communications honoring the 100th anniversary of the telephone in Cambridge, Mass. At MIT. And having met him, I sent him a letter when Skylab was coming back asking if maybe the Russians couldn't give it a reboost. Because my fondest hope at that time was to make the Skylab a orbiting branch of the National Air and Space Museum.
Hmm.
Of course, that never happened. We never got back to it soon enough to do it any good, and it orbited back into the atmosphere.
You've got an area code under your belt. Maybe people will listen to your ideas and, you know, take them more seriously now because you've come up with some really, really good ideas.
Oh, yes. Yeah, thank you. In fact, I've set up a website, spacyideas.com. And you go to spacyideas.com/321. It'll tell you the adventure of my getting my area code.
That's great. Of course, you'll be describing this at H2K, right?
Yes.
Great.
The whole story, five-part harmony and full orchestration, as Arlo Guthrie would say.
All right. We look forward to that. I understand Captain Crunch is going to be here, too. He'll be on a panel with you talking about the old days.
Yes, we're hoping to get him back here in time and so we can both sit around and talk about the old days, the bad old days in some cases, especially for the captain. He's had his trials and tribulations over the years. And but there were some good times too.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the Friday nights with the gang was around the pizza table at TAP.
Yeah. Oh, TAP. Now those are the old days back
yes.
when TAP used to be published. I believe up until 1983. I remember going. I'm sure there are some listeners out there who used to go to the TAP meetings in New York. They're the precursor to the 2600 meetings, which started in New York and then spread like a virus throughout the whole world. But they used to be. Was it every Friday night?
Yeah, they were weekly. Every Friday night, the idea was that out-of-towners who would come in for the weekend could
mm-hmm.
Get to come in and hit our meeting before hitting the night on the town.
Mm-hmm. And so you would meet at, I remember, you used to meet at the place called Eddie's when it was called Adam and Eve's, right?
No, I think it was always called Eddie's when we were there.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
We'll have to look into
NYU
that.
Section of town.
Yeah.
There were some other restaurants that we used to frequent before that. And there's a couple of the places have reincarnated so many times now, nobody knows what they were.
Mm-hmm. But you got quite a wide variety of people showing up at those things. And I have to say, without TAP, there wouldn't have been a 2600 because we wouldn't have even thought of the idea. Hey, yeah, a newsletter. What a great thing to do. Sometimes it takes somebody just, you know, to do the obvious. And then you realize, yeah, that's something that would work. Let's try it.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. Hey, Bernie S. is on the phone with us. Bernie, you still there?
I'm still here in Philadelphia.
All right. You guys know each other, right?
Yeah. Hey, Bob. Or Catcher.
How you doing?
Whoopsie.
All right. You know, there was a good article in the Wall Street Journal. I'm sure you saw it, but I learned about your 321 coup through Wall Street Journal. I happened to see that.
Yep, Wall Street Journal covered it. There was an article in the New York Times. I have them linked from the Spacey Ideas homepage. That's Spacey, Spacey Ideas. .com. And if you run down the column there on the right, I've got links to New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and As It Happens, which is a Canadian radio program, which growing up on the Canadian border was something I always loved listening to, and to finally be interviewed by those people was really a bit of a thrill for me.
Definitely. Bernie, now you were finishing up your story, I believe. What have we gotten to? We gotten to the point where
nobody wants to hear about.
Oh, that's not true.
My jaws are wired shut. You know, it's.
Oh, of course, we all want to hear that. No, just well, basically, what we want to hear is how it ended, how you managed to finally get out of your ordeal in prison, and what it is that you know you learned from it, and what maybe we accomplished.
Well, I learned that people can make a difference. Simple as that. There are a lot of people languishing behind bars who really no one speaks out for, and that's very sad. I saw many, many cases like that. Fortunately, people knew about my situation, and they didn't like it, and they made that known to important people, and it really made a difference. I was in bad shape. I mean, I had my arm was broken in three places. My
jaw was broken in two places. I had 52. I had just undergone 7 hours of major surgery under general anesthesia while chained to the operating table because I was such a dangerous person, you see. And even though I was out cold, and you know, it was only a week, week and a half after that that people just said, "This is just, this is." We heard it was bad, but this is just inhumane. And it made a lot of noise. And in fact, I think you had even organized a contingent of buses to come down. Isn't that the case?
Yeah, yeah. We had gotten to the point where we actually had had the contact information and we were making reservations. And then of course, we got the surprising news.
I think that might have had something to do with it. I really think that the county officials in Easton, Pennsylvania, where I was held last, did not want to. And they clearly were. They knew it was going on. They weren't immune to all this media attention.
Yeah, and you know, that's the point that we've been trying to make tonight is that this is the way to get the word out. This is the way to let people know what's happening. Now, if we were able to bother the Secret Service enough so that they were, you know, requesting that we stop or wanted us to provide them with copies of everything you said, or that a judge in Easton, Pennsylvania would feel the effects of what was happening from our end through this radio station. That means the word's getting out. That means people are listening to the station. That means we actually have a voice and we can affect change.
Basically, there are some people who don't want ideas to get out, and it takes a station like WBAI to get those ideas out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, Cheshire, when you lived in New York, that was when was it you last lived in New York? Back in the 80s?
I moved down to Florida in 87.
87. So BAI was around then.
Oh, it was. In fact, I remember answering phones up there on pledge nights.
Wow. It's amazing how the world...
Is Fred still on the switchboard?
What's that?
Is Fred still on the switchboard?
Is Fred still on the switchboard? Of course Fred's still on the switchboard.
Tell Fred that I said hello.
Not right now. He went home.
Well,
but,
no,
yeah. But he'll be back tomorrow. Yeah, of course. You know, there are some things that just, you know, BAI is known for.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's one of them. But
there's a lot of heritage in the station, which is why people should call to make my mic louder so I can be louder.
You want to be like commercial radio loud?
Right. Okay. People should call.
That's
really loud.
All right,
people should call and keep the heritage alive, you know. Don't let it go down in flames just because you didn't pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Give them the number so they know what to call.
Dude, I'm getting to that, man. I got to do the pre-sell.
Yeah, the pre-sell.
212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
What are some other like commercial radio words? Just the pre-sell? What's the thing they call when you're playing the music and it's...
The post. When you play a song, the idea is to talk all the way up to the first word of the song so that there's no so that there's always somebody talking. So you call that hitting the post, right? Right when your last word ends just as you know, Scott Weiland.
But if you hit the post in football, it's no good, right?
No, bad.
Yeah. All right. What else? Anything else?
I don't know. I'm so entrenched in it. I just it's difficult. I can't view reality anymore.
Wow. Oh, that's where they want
you. What word and what language?
Exactly.
I've always been fascinated by the 7 second delay. Is it actually 7 seconds?
I think it is. The one I used to work with was 7 second delay. I think there's one that's a 6 second delay. But you know, when I think Saturday Night Live has like a 2 or 3 second delay, there's different ones. But 7 seconds generally tends to be radio.
What are they afraid is going to happen on Saturday Night Live that they're going to have to censor?
Mm-hmm. Well, things do happen. They do censor things occasionally there.
Yeah, but 7 seconds is a long reaction time.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, you know, some people are slow.
This is true, especially the guys that need that kind of reaction time.
That's right.
Wasn't it 12 at BAI at one point?
Are you talking into your microphone?
I'm talking to my
microphone.
That's
right.
You probably turned Isaac's
red
relocated microphone.
He crossed all the microphones, so I don't know which one is which. Okay. What were you saying?
Wasn't the machine here? I remember that we had a couple of maybe even a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
There was, you know, the some nights the delay machine was on. Sometimes it wasn't. Wasn't it 12 seconds?
No.
You dumped 12
no.
seconds?
No, it wasn't that.
That's a long time.
We dumped 12 seconds when we hit the button and forgot to unhit it.
Oh, maybe that was
sometimes
it.
Sometimes it was a long period of dead air. We were trying to figure out what went wrong, and yeah, that happens sometimes. But that's just 7 seconds delay, 5 seconds incompetence. But it's been known to happen. 212-209-2950. We have 4 calls on the line. We're up to $3,715, which I'll tell you know, to commercial radio, it's nothing. To us, that's everything. So please add to that number, Make it go up.
Just so you know, dot-coms are spending... The old money of radio used to be car dealers and soda and beer. And they made most... The radio stations made most of their money during the summer. Dot-coms now are spending so much money that a Boston radio station recently, unprecedented, sold a 60-second commercial for over $6,000. Which is what, like, TV time used to go for a few years
$100
ago.
$100 a second.
$6,000 for 60 seconds.
Let's put that into perspective. $6,000 for 60 seconds. WBAI has given us 3 hours tonight. And raising whatever it is that we raise, people will be happy with. If it stops right here at $3,700, that's great. But look at the difference. $3,700 over 3 hours versus $6,000 in 60 seconds. And you'll see what we're up against. You'll see the forces out there that drive the marketplace. They have a lot behind them. And we are at a tremendous disadvantage because all we have are our values and our intent and, kind of an insane desire to keep going on.
And people are like, well, that's crazy, all the money that they're spending on that. But guess whose money that is? It's your money because every time you buy a Diet Coke, 95% of the money you're spending goes toward an ad budget.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you buy Nike shoes, the money's going toward an ad budget.
Well, it's not going to labor, I'll tell you that.
Right. So, you know, vote with your dollars. 209-2950.
Area code 212, country code 1. Please give us a call. Add to the number. Make it go up as high as it possibly can go. Let's give the commercial radio people a run for their money. And, you know,
and all those commercial companies that want to trade with China now?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm getting ready to write my congressman and say, go ahead and vote for regular trade with China. Let them join the World Trade Organization, because unless they join the WTO, unless Chinese goods are coming into this country, we can't boycott them.
All right, that's one way of looking at it.
I thought Chinese goods were coming into this country.
Well,
some are. The thing is that we don't know what's Chinese and what has a Taiwan label or is being shipped through Hong Kong with a Hong Kong label on it. If they join WTO, they've got to put a China label on it. Once we know what is coming from China, then we know what to start boycotting against, and then they'll know what a consumer boycott is about. When they're making the goods, shipping the goods here, and they're not selling.
Well, that's an idea. But, you know, the thing is, consumer boycotts, I don't know, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Sometimes you know something is really evil, but people keep buying it anyway. And I've seen that happen more times than not, you know.
Because they say, what are you going to do?
Yeah, there is
that. And then, you know, once you play that card, once you say, yeah, well, we'll boycott you, and it doesn't happen, then, you know, you've pretty much given it away. You're pretty much lost because they know they can survive, and you're kind of irrelevant. The important thing, though, is that you never stop talking about it. You never stop presenting your ideas and trying to make things better. That's what we try to do here. 212-209-2950. We have two calls on the line, and I think we have more than $3,700 because we had some calls on and it hasn't been updated yet. But speaking of, Cheshire, you mentioned the most lonely person in the world down there at the IRS booth. Did you hear about the most lonely payphone in the world?
Yes, I'm so sad.
Yes,
I heard something about that on the radio this morning, and I didn't catch the whole article on NPR.
Well, basically, there's this payphone in the middle of the Mojave Desert that everybody knew about. People would call it from around the world, and it was the most isolated place. You'd drive there, and you'd pick up the phone, see who was calling it. It was great. They took it away.
Yep. It was originally like put there for miners, wasn't it?
Yes, they were working with a cindercone.
It was installed in the 60s, used by miners digging volcanic cinder nearby.
Yes, it's actually kind of interesting because do you have the number there?
Well, no, it wouldn't do any good anyway.
I actually have it.
You have the number?
Of course I have the number.
It's not it's just a piece of concrete.
Oh, yeah. He's got it in his cell phone
calling it
all the time.
You can call it and get the error.
All right, let's hear the error.
The other interesting part is you'll hear it. 760.
Hang on. Folks, don't mind the dial tone. Hopefully we won't lose anybody. Here we go. Go ahead.
760.
1760.
1760, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
733. Now, here's the interesting part. 9969.
Interesting. Well, a lot of payphones do begin with 99.
That's a number to me.
Exactly, yeah. It's
a what?
Odd. Well, it's sitting in the 99. Which
yeah,
it's
not that happens.
Official 69, yeah.
I have to enter a secret code in a second, so everybody...
Close your ears.
Yeah, close your ears when you get the special tone.
Do you mean to give the number again?
You didn't get the special tone, though.
We're calling the middle of the Mojave Desert,
right.
Why don't you call into
the
station?
It costs money to do phone pranks like this, I might add.
All right, I'm not sure if I hit the tone in time. Oh, there's the tone. Hold on.
You
know what?
Distraction?
No, I'm dialing a crazy number. Hold on a second. Let me put it right in. Hold.
Whoa,
this is getting crazy. Okay.
There's sparks coming out of the phone.
Hang on, hang on. All right.
Duck.
Now, we're going to try this all over again. But this time we're going to do it with without everybody on the phone at the same time. All right, number is 760.
760?
Yeah.
733-9969.
Uh-huh. All right. I don't think it heard all the numbers, which is why I didn't get the tone. Okay. Now we dial a special code, and let's hear it. Is this your idea of a joke, Isaac?
No, no. There's actually a recording that's okay. Very sad that's supposed to come on.
Well, I sure hope it comes on.
Hope nobody answers.
Yeah, right.
How many rings does it take to get the recording?
I don't know.
Uh-huh. Well, Isaac, what did the recording say?
At 10 o'clock. We have to stop this.
Okay, you can just hang up. Anyway, it was just very depressing. It was a standard, this number is no longer in service sort of thing.
We went all this to hear the boo-doo-doo.
Yes.
Dude,
you mean it doesn't say anything?
Hobby phone booth.
Dude, we just spent $3 calling there. We got to recoup that money.
Well, actually, we haven't spent anything until it connects. And even if there was an error, we wouldn't pay at all.
Okay, don't get technical on me.
Your provision back. We're not being charged.
Yeah, he's right.
I made a phone faux pas. I was trying to segue into give us money.
I lost some. Well, I hit the hold button. Oh, you know what? I hit the off button. I'm sorry. who's there? Hello, who's there? Well, one of you is there because I see the light lit.
Well, Treasurer's there.
Ah, okay, all right, you're there. We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to call back Bernie.
Might I remind you that the number is 212-209-2950.
Treasurer, are you still there?
I'm still
okay,
here.
Hold on, I'm going to put you on hold again.
Maybe we can pay for some training for good old Emmanuel.
Right.
It's not me, it's the phone, all right? It's the craziest phone I've ever seen.
Can't even hack a paper bag.
I was juggling three calls at once, one of which never answered. Would have happened to anybody. All right, let's get Bernie back on the line. All right, Bernie's phone is ringing now.
Oh, it's nice to be back.
I'm sorry about that, Bernie. It was not intentional. Although it will be intentional in a couple of minutes because we have to get rid of you because Kevin's coming on.
Oh, good. I'm glad he's coming on.
Yeah. And I'm getting another beep. It's you. Why are you beeping me, Bernie?
I wasn't aware that you
You think I forgot about you?
Telecommunications hijinks.
I didn't know if you knew I'd been cut off.
I'm not quite that senile. Yes, I realized the light went off and I weren't there. All right.
If somebody was smart, they'd get that Mojave payphone phone number for their very own.
Excellent.
Well, now that we've given out the number over the air, I'm sure somebody will.
I'm interested if the pair is still sitting there, so somebody could just, drive out.
I was wondering that,
little,
someone suggested we put our own coke out there, but, the thing is, it's not the phone company.
Like
apparently,
one of the BP boxes?
It's the National Park Service that wanted it out of there, because apparently people were coming all over the place causing, a ruckus, and sort of not paying attention to why the place was there in the first place. Mojave National Preserve wasn't there just to, I guess, drink beers and talk on the phone. But regardless, we don't have very many national treasures, and I think that payphone was one of them, all right? And I really think they should put it back. Let's start a drive to get that payphone put back in.
Washington Monument payphone.
Yeah, if they took down the Washington Monument, people would raise a fuss. I say they should raise a fuss about this because is this not a monument in its own way?
What, WBII? Why, you can support WBII right now by calling 212-209-2950. Call now or we'll start playing NSYNC and Pearl Jam.
I think we're over 4,000.
No, that was slick.
Whoa, we're over 4,000.
I had a much slicker one last time we did this.
Alex just told us we're over $4,000.
We're on $4,000?
$4,000.
But do we have any euros, dude?
They're in there.
How do we get those?
They roll off the last.
How do we get the white slips from the people?
I don't know.
In and give us the white slips.
Right. Well, I need euros.
We're doing really good. We want to thank everybody for calling in. Please continue to call. If you haven't called yet, this is the last week of the pledge drive, so next week we'll be back to normal. And we really want to hear from you. It's a chance to... Isaac, you're making a phone call.
No, I'm not making a phone call.
You're not making a phone call.
I'm not making
Why aren't you making a phone call?
Should I be making a
you
phone call?
You should be. Call 212-209-2950. Well, two people in the room have, actually, I pledged too. Three people in the room have pledged.
Would you,
four people in the room
I pledged indirectly through my significant other.
Alex, you haven't pledged.
Yes, I'm pledging.
You're pledging. Everyone in the room has pledged except you.
Why don't you call?
I'm pledging right here. You're
going to give your credit card number out over the air?
No, I can pledge $75.
How much money have you given to the Bush campaign?
I haven't given a penny to the Bush campaign.
Right, whatever.
I'm willing to do it. $75.
All right, but it's probably not a good idea to give you a name, address, and phone number out over the air.
Why don't I just say, Isaac, you know, care of the station.
Well, they're going to send the bill to the station?
Why don't I walk over there and give him cash?
Why'd you do that?
He's going to give him cash.
All right. After the show, you're going to give him cash. We're going to make sure you do it, too.
All right.
No, normally we don't do that. Only in Isaac's case, we coerce people.
Oh, okay.
We're running out of time, dude.
Bernie, we're running out of time. Is your story finished?
Mine.
you're telling a story about your horrible prison. I don't mean to make light of it, but it's just...
My story is perfect.
I wasn't sure if you were finished.
I'm actually tired of talking about it. I want to hear positive things. I want to hear Isaac's pledge. And is it Isaac who's going to pledge?
Yes, I'm going to pledge.
Yeah.
Pledge now.
And that means something.
All right.
Ooh.
Thank you very much.
No heroes.
All right, Bernie, this is your last chance to get people to call and say goodbye because we have to get Kevin on the line, and you can't talk to him because of federal law.
Well, folks, this station really makes a difference, and I know that from firsthand experience. It had a life-changing effect on me, this station and its listeners. So don't do it just for me. Do it for – it's already been done for me, but there are a lot of other people who are truly helped by this station. A lot of people are educated by the station, and especially by Off the Hook, and it's a valuable resource. It's probably one of the most important radio. In fact, it is the most important radio resource that I know of. So, by all means, support this and put your pledge in before the show goes off the air in 15 minutes.
I'm absolutely amazed by the people calling in. This is incredible. The response we're getting. I'm so happy to be hearing from people. Mark from Staten Island. Hey, Rich the Rebel. Rich the Rebel actually pledged, isn't that
wow,
simple?
Not bad.
All right, Rich the Rebel.
Take a call.
Does he have his email address?
Take his calls anyway. Does he have his email address? You know, there isn't a thing on here for email address.
Oh, they didn't ask mine.
Yeah,
that might be worth it.
Well, this is actually it's a we'll send check later.
Oh, okay.
We're gonna check on this, Rich the Rebel, definitely. But thanks for the call, Ryan from Philadelphia. Thank you for your pledge, and Tommy Pickles. From New York. Thank you very much. We know
DJ
you well,
Tommy
too.
Pickles?
Yeah, you know him?
He spends at the Dublin Pub, doesn't he? He used to. No, that's Bobby Pickles.
I don't know. I don't know that much about him, but it's possible. He was part of MTV for a while. Yeah. Helped us out quite a bit with some valuable tips and things like that. Richard from Highland Park, New Jersey. Linda from Bridgeport, Connecticut. Tim from... how do you say that?
Dude, why do you keep putting me on the
spot? You're one of the few
literary
people I know.
From Appalachia.
Appalachia's not a town, is it?
Appalachia, New
York.
It's
a region.
This is Appalachian.
Appalachian. Okay, that could be a town. You know, I don't know.
607.
I don't know every town there is. Oh, all the way up 607. Okay, that's like by Rochester things. Okay.
Now, Rochester is 716.
I should have. All right, I should have known better than to say that with you on the line.
That's my part of the country. That's where I grew up.
607 is that what do you call it? What's the other one? Syracuse?
That's 315.
Yeah.
Or Ithaca, I think that is.
That's the southern tier.
All right, dude, I'm going to test you. Right. Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, even I know that.
816.
Huh?
I was thinking of Kansas City, 916. The other Kansas City is
916, right. Kansas City, Kansas.
See,
there's two Kansas cities.
Yeah, two Kansas cities. That's a tricky one.
Mm-hmm.
Clem from Piermont, New York. Thank you for your pledge. Eugene from Montclair, New Jersey. Mike from Newark, California. I was going to say Newark, New Jersey. Mike from Newark, California. Thank you for your pledge as well.
I've heard of him.
How do you know someone named Mike from California?
I know Mike from that area of California that is one of our servers.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So in addition to serving the show, he's actually pledging as well. That's incredible.
It would appear so.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. That's really great. Aaron from Upper Nyack, New York. That's right on the border, right by the Tappan Zee Bridge. New York, Mexico.
Okay.
Stephen from Edmonton, Alberta. That's in Canada, too.
Canada representing.
I've always wanted to go to Edmonton. I always wanted to see that place.
What's stopping you?
Well, right now, I've got a million things
lawsuits
I'm doing, but I'll get up there, I promise. Edmonton and the whole Alberta scene. definitely. Mm-hmm. Latifa from Church Street Station, New York. Or actually,
Queen?
You can't really live in Church Street Station because that's a P.O. box.
Is the first name Queen?
No. Yeah. At least I'm not sure if it's rewritten here anyway. But Queen or not, thank you, Latifa, for the call. And Albert from Brick, New Jersey. Brick, New Jersey. Thank you for your...
The number 212, there's only like 15 minutes left, so...
Yeah, and you know, one of these people wanted me to call him something else. Wanted me to call him Doc. Yeah, Doc from Highland Park. I'm sorry, I messed that up and called you something else. So.
If you've been lollygagging, it's 212-209-2950.
Bernie, we have to say goodbye to you now, so say goodbye.
Goodbye to you now.
All right.
So long, Bernie. See you at H2K.
Yes.
Hey, Bernie.
See you there.
If not earlier.
All right, Cheshire, we're going to keep you on if that's okay with you.
Okay.
All right, hang on a second. Hey, let's make sure we get rid of the right people here. Okay, I got rid of that button there and these buttons. Okay, that works. Hang on. Hey, this is a complicated phone system here.
We need some
right.
training for you.
No, it's no, make sure we've got Cheshire over here. Cheshire, are you still there?
Oh, there he is.
Is that Cheshire?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hang on, Cheshire. Now we're going to get Kevin on the line. Why don't you fill the air, Laszlo, with some, what's the technical word for it? Chatter?
Chatter?
Well, something to get people to call in. We have two calls on the line.
They have these devices now for commercial radio to stop the length of the pauses.
Yes.
In between.
I'm actually...
That's insane.
Could you imagine that thing working on, like, Paul Harvey's show? Where his signature, Paul Harvey, good day. And you just shorten the pause in the middle of that? It would just completely ruin the whole thing.
It's crazy, and it's all to get more commercials on.
Well, and even more than that, at top 40 stations, which is basically like everything now, because everything sounds like a top 40 station, they actually speed up the CD players now, 2%.
Oh, there
really?
You go.
2%, yeah.
Is it noticeable?
Some songs it is, but they can fit in more commercials that way.
It's insane. It's horrible.
And it's bad. I mean, the top 40 songs are all of like 3 minutes anyway. You know what I mean?
Well, they
like,
cut the length as well, don't they? They cut the length of some of these songs. Mm-hmm. Like they have different cuts for.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should start talking faster. 2%.
Yeah, we could squeeze a lot more.
That's good.
You know,
yeah, that's very good.
I'm a chipmunk.
All right. I hope that was informative. I didn't hear any of it. 212-209-2950. I was on the phone, and Kevin Mitnick joins us now from California. Kevin. You with us?
Hi, Emmanuel. How you doing?
Kevin, there's some interesting news on your front because you are now allowed to use that as a cell phone. You want to tell us something about that?
Yeah, that's correct. The probation department gave me approval to obtain and use a cell phone as long as I give them a copy of my monthly statement.
Isn't that something? Okay, so
that's positive.
I'm talking to you on it now.
Yeah, we can tell by the quality. But that is a positive development. I guess the only positive development because they still continue to harass you over the most mundane things.
Yeah, it's still a big problem with my ability to speak publicly and to write about the computer related issues. That's still a issue of contention and we hope to be in court very soon.
Mm-hmm. That's good. You have to keep fighting these things to make sure that you get some
rights. Just recently I received a letter from the probation department wanting me to detail my daily activities in looking for an 8-hour-a-day job. And even though I have several offers to work as a journalist and for public speaking opportunities, they apparently don't feel that I should be pursuing those endeavors and want me to pursue, employment in, I guess fast food or something like that. Who knows? But, in fact, I was at my attorney's office today and we're reviewing a letter that's, or a draft of a brief that's being submitted by Floyd Abrams, who was retained by Brill's Content to help resolve this issue.
I sure hope it gets resolved because, I mean, you went through 5 years in prison, and now to have to deal with this kind of garbage when you're out, not to be able to pursue the career of your choice, having to get a menial job because they want you to get a menial 9-to-5 job, you might as well still be in prison. I mean, I'm glad you're not, but, I mean, you're not living a free life.
Well, I think it's part of a setup is what they're trying to do is set me up to go back. You can understand that they probably don't want me to work with computer-related equipment, but when they interpret the judge's conditions so overbroadly and unreasonably as to prohibit me speaking or writing about computer technology, and the probation department's construing it as computer consulting is absurd. And again, I believe it's part of a setup in the hopes that I'll not do what they are telling me to do so they can put me back in prison.
That is the goal, actually. It's a horrible thing, but it's true. When someone is on supervised release, the people who are supervising them get points. They definitely get promotions points, all kinds of praise, if they're able to take a potentially dangerous criminal off the streets and put him back into prison. They look for things like that, and they really do have a vested interest. Fiber is worth telling us that.
What I'm learning is all probation officers are police or policemen in probation officer suits, and apparently the vast majority of them, and I don't believe my particular probation officer is included in this category, but probably the people above him are just interested in not having the probationer succeed, that they view their job as to, you know, to be punitive in measure and not advancing the goal of trying to help the offender reintegrate back into society. You know, it's weird, but I'm just having to deal with it, and it's really unfortunate. I believe there could be more productive things I could be doing than, again, fighting the government, because I've already did my time, and all I'm trying to do is be a productive member of society, and they're throwing a monkey wrench in it. That's how I see it, and they're using their broad interpretation of the conditions as a tool of harassment.
And when you consider the amount of time you were in prison for the kind of a crime that you were accused of and that you committed, which are two widely different things, it's all the worse because you've been through hell already.
I guess I'm an anomaly with these people that everything in my case has been extraordinarily, off kilter. I mean, held without a bail hearing or a trial for 4.5 years as a pretrial detainee. Just everything in this case has been, it seems like, yeah, I admit I broke the law, but the punishment definitely hasn't fit the crime. And what's really shocking to me is the disregard of my constitutional rights, because if my rights could be disregarded by federal prosecutors in the court system, then certainly if they can do it to Kevin Mitnick, they can do it to anybody else.
Absolutely. But
what I'm learning is, our Bill of Rights is really a facade, and only the people that really have the rights are the people who could afford, adequate, defense in protecting those rights.
That's true. Well, I wish we had more time to get into this. We are running into the last few minutes of our 3 hours.
Yeah, I think your radio show, with WBA has been extremely important in enabling me to, speak my view and get the word out about the issues in my case. And I think it's really important that that there be communication mechanisms such as this radio station to be able to allow just the average Joe on the street like me be able to communicate one's views. So I think I think you're doing a good job.
Well, thanks. And you're far from the average Joe on the street, I'll tell you that. It's good to be able to have people.
I just consider myself just a regular guy.
Yeah, well, it's unfortunate the federal government doesn't do that, but maybe someday they'll leave you alone. It would be nice. 212-209-2950. We only have 5 minutes left to get your support. And, we're kind of tired here from begging for money for 3 hours straight, but, there's some people that have to do it every day, all day long. So it's an exhausting thing. Think about that. Think about how it's, something that's a necessity of life. And, yes.
One thing I wanted to mention is about my news. I get most of mine off of National Public Radio because it's all I've got in this part of Florida. But I don't like television news. And the reason is, if they couldn't get a camera there, then it probably didn't happen. And
right.
I know WBAI from when I used to live up that way, that they will pick up the news from sources that even NPR won't go anywhere near, and will bring you the kind of news reporting and information and knowledge that the listenership has come to know and expect.
and they need to support that kind of information now. Now's the time to do that.
I didn't mean to be rude. I didn't introduce you to Cheshire Catalyst Kevin Mitnick. Do you know each other?
Hi there.
Hi, Pepper. I've heard of you, but I don't know you personally.
Are you going to be at H2K?
Well, I want to go, and I'm really wondering if the probation department will allow me to travel there.
I understand.
You know, it's kind of a great concern for me. I hope I can come. I'd really it'd be exciting to meet, you know, all the different people that will be there.
We'll have you participate one way or another. Even if it's by Morse code, we'll do it somehow.
I know Morse code. I'm a ham operator.
All right. Well, there you go.
I'm a ham operator, too.
Yeah, all right. Well, you two have a lot to talk about then.
Yes, and I do want to meet you and shake your hand because those rights that they took from you, I may need someday. I don't do anything nasty, but they may think I do something nasty.
Mm-hmm.
So I certainly want those rights protected.
Absolutely.
No, I just hope what's happened to me doesn't happen to anybody else down the road. You know, and you also hear people that are convicted of, you know, really heinous crimes and end up getting the death penalty, and then later on they find out they're innocent. And luckily, they haven't been put to death yet, and they're released from prison. But it's pretty scary, you know, that, you know, things happen, you know, in that context.
Four calls on the line, 212-209-2950. Please add to those four people and show your support. Help get our numbers up there. We have three packages. Actually, we have four packages. For $50, you can get the Say No to WTO combo CD by Jello Biafra, keynote speaker at H2K. For $75, you'll get three of the Off the Hook T-shirt package. You'll get three T-shirts, 2600 shirt, an encryption shirt, and the anti-MPAA shirt. MPAA, of course, being the entity suing us, the latest entity suing us. Also, you'll get the Alternative Tentacles CD along with that. That's for a pledge of $75. For $100, you'll get two passes to H2K, Hackers on Planet Earth, taking place in July in New York City, as well as the Jello Biafra CD and... For $125, in addition to the CD, you'll get a set of four CD-ROMs with off-the-hook episodes from 1988 to 1997. Porchup, do you have something queued up for us? Is this going to go through the board, or is this going to go through your speaker?
This is going to go through the board as
okay,
the,
so let me punch it up one. Properly. But this is basically what you will hear if you select a show from 19... What year are we going back to?
We're going back to October 6th, 1998.
No, I couldn't be because it only goes up to 1998.
Sorry, 1988.
1988, okay.
1988.
Wouldn't
you say
68? No, 88, okay. Well, we only have about 10 seconds to do this, so hopefully your computer is fast enough to...
Yeah, hopefully I can locate this. Where'd it go?
All right, well, you keep looking for that while we say goodnight to Cheshire and Kevin. Guys, I want to thank you both for coming in or being on the phone and showing your support for the station and just doing the things you do. It really is an inspiration to a lot of us.
Well, thank you for being there, and thank WBAI for being there as well.
Yeah, thank you, Manuel. I appreciate your support, I'm glad that WBAI is able to allow you to, you know, have this program on the air.
Okay, again, thanks for you guys for coming in. We'll be talking to you again in weeks to come, and we'll see you at H2K in one form or another. Laszlo, what is that phone number one more time?
Well, you know, I'm kind of glad you asked. And it would be 212-209-2950.
All right. Join the two people on the line now and show your support. Get that number up there up to just about $4,300. It would be nice if we could hit 5,000, wouldn't it? And I think if a bunch of people called in the last minute of the show, we could actually do that. It's not that unattainable. Porchup, you have that audio piece for
it
us?
It should be running right now.
I don't hear it.
Well, that would be a problem, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, wait. I think I have to hit this button. Hang on. There it is. Hey, it's our theme.
You can use it.
Hey, we get our theme.
Yeah, we forgot the theme. We don't have it. So now we're listening to the theme on real audio over the air, which I imagine, what does it sound like over real audio now?
It probably sounds a little bit worse, a little bit more degraded.
It's actually the middle of the show in here.
What part of the show are we in?
This is right after the first quarter is over.
Uh-huh.
For some reason.
The very first show back in 1988 was, I think, a three-hour special or something. And,
you really haven't figured the buttons out in that period of time, the last 12
These
years.
Are different buttons,
and
okay?
All the different buttons. You're listening to Off the Hook here on WBAI
That's
in
me.
New York. I'm Emmanuel Goldstein, and we've been listening to a barrage of teleconferences and party lines and all kinds of things like that.
And now, folks, it's your turn. If you'd like to be a part of what could perhaps be a unique radio experience, although I can't.
All right. Well, that was a unique radio experience 12 years ago.
That was a fun show.
It's a different unique radio experience now, but it's over for us. Nuff Said is up next. Are they standing outside? Yeah.
Yes, I believe so.
Hi, guys. Have them come in. Come on in. Come,
yeah,
on,
come
in.
On in, guys.
Coming to keep you off your own airtime.
Especially since you're on their airtime now, dude. That's
one of
the
many
clock says.
One of the many really cool shows on this radio station. So
in the room.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Like to stay a little bit longer.
Oh, okay.
Not
all
much,
right.
Just how nice.
Yeah.
We can say goodbye then.
We can say goodbye. Yeah, that's the important thing. Is it still playing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Back to 1988,
and we certainly deserve it, I think. For the price of that one phone call. Just call us up, and we will link you together. Not only will you be linked to other fascinating people, you know they have to be fascinating if they're listening to a fascinating radio station such as this. Boy, I'm getting carried away here, aren't I?
Yeah, you certainly are.
That happened, but you'll be put on the air, live, over the air.
And, you know, you probably have to sort out through, a lot of people, but...
Well, it's very interesting. That's part of what you get for pledging $125. You'll get four CD-ROMs with 100 hours of audio each. That's 400 hours of audio, and you can listen to Off the Hook till the cows come home. Of course, you can listen on the net. It's all up there on the net anyway, but you have to download them, and it takes time. And you know, this way you'll have it with you no matter where you go.
So if you really want shows from 1988 to 1997, this is your best bet. And we have all kinds of other packages. Don't want to list them all again because it takes too long, but the people on the pledge room know them well. Might as well have the phone number.
212-209-2950.
All right. I want to give a special thank you to all the people who took part in the show tonight. Our lawyer and Herb Stan, thank you very much for coming in. Bernie S., Treasure Catalyst, Kevin Mitnick, Mackie, Isaac, Porkchop, Chena, Laszlo, and Alex. I'll leave anybody else.
You had to write that down, didn't you?
Yeah. And Chris, thank you. You know, he didn't say anything. Thanks for being there. All right, stay tuned for Nuff Said. We'll be up. We'll be back again next week. Till then, have a good night. We don't have a theme, so I don't know how to go out of the show. I'll play a card to stop this madness. Good night, everybody.
Hey, this is Armand Jamil. When there's a trauma, there's an energetic response which may or may not turn into a long-term reaction. If you're experiencing strange symptoms that no one seems to be able to explain, they could be arising from a traumatic reaction to a past event that you may not even remember. On Wednesday, May 24th, Dr. Peter Levine, author of Waking the Tiger, and Jeanette Mason, author of Shattered, will talk for 4 hours about trauma, the symptoms of trauma, and trauma recovery. Mark it down, Wednesday, May 24th, from 2 to 6 p.m., here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial.
Community residents once again took to the streets today to protest the latest police killing. This time, the shooting death of African immigrant Amadou Diallo, who died in a hail of 41 police bullets.
Out today for the funeral of William Whitfield, shot to death on Christmas Day by New York City police. The unarmed Whitfield was shot to death.
Look at you, see, look at you, the streets.
Police killing Anthony Baez, a young Latino man.
God is in my seat, get the best of me.
Accidentally struck the police car.
My brothers are dying. Is there anybody trying?
The devil's in a blue dress.
As in so many other cases, the evidence presented by the district attorney to a grand jury was not sufficient to warrant an indictment. The officer walked away a free man.
Like a mafia don, and this mob called me
can't walk, police squad, devils in the blue dress, they back by the chief of top. Glide like walkers and sting like the German Nazi. Earth's the burning ground below heaven and angels. They put a Glock slug in the back of Kevin to Daniel. I see a black man, a dead rope, simply for defending himself against the devil. Yo, his name's Mumia. Pistols from slavery, 6 days of rage before the day to victimize Mumia. It's real, on Christmas Day, they go shot William Whitfield, the pig's peel. They consider it a big deal. It's about time they locked up LaRoldi. Put it with my homies. I bet the devil got an eye for me. Bet these lyrics got him really vexed. But to be damned by the devil, to be truly blessed.
While others are dying, is there anybody trying? The devil's in our blue dress.
As dark clouds follow, if I'm a Duke Diallo and it's still a hard pill to swallow, how can the acts of men be so cold, taking the life of any African? Only this time the city replied. Nevermore would another man die without the city squad feeling the crime. 40 shots hit an innocent man. 19 struck his body unarmed without a gun in his hand. Enter the devil in his blue chariot. Dress, he's ruthless, so who's next? He ain't having it. This heart of swine, this companion with the hungry nine. Vexed at the tongue of mine. Damn, I should have kept quiet. Blessed so swift with the nightstick, the devil's fork. The city's hell, then the kings of New York. You got bloods, Latin kings, and yentas. BPs, Macadonis, and quits. But which gang I fear? The NY to the PD. Badges and sticks, word up. This is B, word of B-I-G. The P-I-G's, they can't speak. Not so friendly when it comes to the beast. Walkie talkies in my sleep, BTs running the streets, they study my best. Feel the ice cold breath in the back of my neck. Smother scent of the devil in the name of the dread.
Can't you see? Look into the sleep.
Okay, so we started a couple of minutes late. We're going for 2 hours tonight. What the heck? In a way, it's nice, you know, following off the hook, although it's bad in a way, too, because we don't have the time to hang out in reception and just
like an hour between shows, and we usually hang out, but not this time.
Why not? Bring him in here. Let's do it on air. Anyway, this is No Said tonight, going until midnight, because of our pledge drive, our membership drive, our fundraising event, which takes place occasionally, a little too occasionally for most. But
three times a year, it's not that often.
You know.
I mean, most stations do their fundraising every 5 minutes. We do it every 3 months. Come on.
So the phone number for pledges is 209-2950. I got to remember that tonight, you know.
Right, Isaac? We got that right? 209-2950? No, Isaac, you're on. Isaac. Isaac's in the other room. Right, this is Emmanuel.
But anyway,
yeah.
209-2950 is the number to pledge. We've got some comics and T-shirts and stuff, and we'll talk about that in a little while.